Good. So that's good. I'm trying to get the I'm trying to get Fios. There's a way to watch Fios on various devices in your house. And I'm trying to get Fios up and going here so I can watch the game.
Oh, well, that makes sense. I don't know. I just don't know that we got enough. I was shocked you came back to win the other one, to be honest.
Where's your faith, sir?
It is firmly planted in Florida State right now. That is where.
Yeah, Clemson in 2 weeks, right?
True.
Hey, what's up?
We're talking Seminole football. Welcome to the show. Got a take? Don't suck.
I am so glad he isn't on most stations anymore. Oh, I hated Jim Rome.
All right, we got Rocks from Jacksonville. What do you got?
I got,
all right, that's enough time. And we got
it.
I was hoping for tickets for the basketball game.
War need coffee.
Yeah.
War need coffee. Just
oh my gosh, yeah. What are we talking about on the need coffee versus the unique geek? How's that heading up? I heard
it's a violent, violent game.
Yeah.
It usually involves a lot of scowling at one another.
Oh my god, yeah. It's a competition of scowling. How come you're not watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., sir?
I have this thing, it's called a DVR.
Oh, okay. Good for you. I watch it through Hulu anyway.
We DVR it, Dr. Jen and I, and a while ago, a friend told me, once you get a DVR, it will change the way that you watch television, and he was correct.
Oh my god, it's amazing. It frees your world up.
Well, it's just so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't generally like to watch commercials. There are a few that I like to watch. I like to watch the Allstate Mayhem guy.
Keep talking.
Yeah.
And I also like to watch the, I guess it's the AT&T, with the guy that, like, the straight actor with all the kids. And the kids say crazy stuff, and he's like, yes, I understand exactly what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, I talk to kids like that all the time.
That's not a surprise.
Well, he's not talking down to them.
No, he makes them feel probably quite grown up and like big kids. And as an adult watching it, you're like, that's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yes, it's funny. You know, if I'm like near a child or whatever, and for whatever reason.
Did the police have to get involved again?
No. No, not at the moment. You know, my friend's kids or whatever. I'm like, okay, what's your story? And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, what's going on? What's your story? Explain. What are you doing here? My mom brought me here.
Why'd you get in the car with them?
There's so much other stuff you can do instead of hanging around your folks, you know. Really? Oh, gotta go.
Haven't you ever heard of firecrackers?
Or magnifying glasses.
That was enjoyable fun as a child. Well, more for me than for
the
aunts.
Oh my gosh.
But,
so,
yeah.
So now, since you brought this up as a segue, apparently, if your large screen TV goes out and it's totally broken, apparently if you take the front off, and you had to check this on Instructables, but you can create a death ray. You know, I guess it's sort of like a magnifying glass of some sort that you could actually, you know, cook tins of, you know, hobo stew or something like that.
So if a radioactive explosion or something happened and ants were taken to 20-30 times their normal size, we could use that to still
Either that or the giant wasps in China.
Oh yeah.
You know what? That's where. You know what? There you go. I should write this in because you know that's. You know, most of the TVs are made in China, Foxconn. You know, just take those. You know, the fronts off and just burn the little fuckers or the large fuckers, whatever they are. They're apparently the size of a thumb.
They're so. Well, they're gonna have to get above them.
Well, yeah. So you get some helicopters and stuff. And, you know. I want one of those little helicopters, you know, that are like bikes. Did you ever see that? Well, they're like little planes, those little open type planes. I want one of those.
I have been rewatching James Bond films lately, and I remember the little helicopter he had in that.
Yeah. So anyway, you can fit one of those TV lenses, you know, considering TVs are what the normal size that most people get are what 50-60 inches now.
I'm not sure how big TVs. I think that you would literally have a hard time getting something smaller than like 38 inches.
Okay.
Because you need at least 27 inches.
I need 27. My my TV's only 32. I'm in the olden days. Like everybody
knows.
Is
it a flat screen?
No, it's an old sharp TV and it still keeps going. I have until it breaks.
Yeah, there's no reason
Reason to buy one.
Yeah, I have that rule as well.
Yeah.
My grandmother does that as well.
No, there's no HD. God. There's no nothing. If I watch like Hulu, I'll watch it off of my 27-inch computer. So.
Scott C. is computo.
Oh, am I?
Scott, yeah, whatever happened to that good mic? Did your grandmother confiscate it from you?
No, hold on a second.
Are you going to be the male version of Siri?
Oh my God, no. You know what he's our version of Charlie from Charlie's Angels.
Yeah, kind of.
It was John Forsythe, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, he sounded a hell of a lot better than Scott does right now.
Well, yeah. Everybody does.
You know what sounds really good, though?
Crack.
Ah, you got it.
He said crack before I heard that.
Well, yeah.
It's crack ruined now. Too. The magic of audio is ruined.
Thanks to iOS 7, I am on crack. So.
What? Wait, are you, what, iOS 7 for your...
Which, don't forget, crack is whack.
Yeah, it is. And if crack is whack, then by the reflexive axiom, you could go play crack-a-mole. Aha! That is an arcade and a mathematics joke. All in one!
He's done, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much. Good night. That's about all I know about math.
Back to our sports show.
Oh, we were in a sports show? I'm terribly sorry.
No, we were trying to build death rays out of TVs.
Well, what?
TV screens. Yes. This guy on Instructables apparently.
Death race as in 2000 or 3000?
Death
Ray. Oh, okay.
Death Fay Ray. Did you get my email?
Which one?
The one about Halloween stuff.
Oh, yes, I did. Okay. Thank you. Okay,
good. I'll find more. Anyway, this guy on Instructables, his TV, his flat screen broke. So he took the front off, the whatever it is. Apparently his is sort of like kind of magnified. So it could be this giant magnifying glass. So he like he has it on this frame so he can actually cook like hobo stew in a can. It's on Instructables. So anyway, I thought of a good idea of killing the giant wasps in China with all of the TVs that they make in China. Should work.
Well, there you go.
We just need like little helicopters.
Why not just use drones? We got drones.
Scott, use your good mic.
Am I sounding robo?
No, it sounds like you're far away.
Yeah, Scott, it sounds like
you've got the mic like right here.
Scott, you've been imprisoned at the bottom of a Pringles can.
Scott, make sure Skype has the right thing selected.
Scott, you're using your computer mic. It's not going through your good one. What are you doing? What is he doing?
It sounds like he's constructing a small cabin out of popsicle sticks.
Wow.
So
I guess his grandmother took away all the glue.
I guess. Because he kept glitterizing everything.
How's that?
Oh my god.
Oh hey.
Better. Just turn it down.
I love how
down.
Skype just decides, we're going to use this and not tell you.
Okay.
Stupid Skype.
All right. Oh, we need an update. Scott, your mom went to, did we hear from you since mom went to one of those Mickey Faust things?
I'm trying to think. Probably not. And she enjoyed it. She enjoyed the show.
She didn't disown you?
No, she did not disown me.
Did she notice if you flubbed any lines?
I do not flub lines.
Okay. Just here.
Thank you very much. I do not flub lines.
I don't know. That's not the memo I got from Doc. However.
Oh. Damn. No, she enjoyed it. She was a little concerned that there was no AC, but then I said, you know, we're up there on stage with full stage lighting and makeup and costumes, so hush.
Well, you're in a train station, right?
Not the train station, but like the what used to be like the warehouses that they would store stuff in.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, no, she had a great time. She enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God, because I didn't want to hear her mouth if she didn't.
Oh, well. Then she would disown you and make you live with her. I'm taking away from Granny.
Well, now, you could have a custody battle like Gretchen Mol in Boardwalk Empire.
Oh my god, yes.
Before I forget, can I just say that it takes work to make Gretchen Mol look scary?
Oh my god, I know. And she looks scary. Alright, sir, where are you in Boardwalk Empire?
I haven't picked it up yet this season.
Oh.
Well, are you going to?
Yes, I am. I keep mentioning it to Dr. Jen, but the problem is the other new shows have started on networks that we get easily. So we've been watching that. We'll have to somehow, the television fairy will deliver the new episodes of Boardwalk Empire at some point.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we can kind of talk about it. He'll forget what we say.
You just have to make up some stuff.
Or we could talk about another show, like The Blacklist.
Oh my god, I love
Blacklist. Yeah, I am watching that, but I didn't catch yesterday's yet.
So
Oh, really?
But
not yet.
So I had not watched the first episode the last time we were here. Mm-hmm. And so Rox, here's my take on it. First of all, I'm really sort of startled that you allowed someone to make a TV series out of your life. Now, granted, they changed your gender to sort of draw attention away from you, but still, I'm sort of amazed. I hope you're getting paid really well. So here's my take on it. At first, I thought the way it seems like in the episode is that the only reason I'm watching this is for James Spader.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, FBI chick does something that reminds me that she has a pulse.
Yeah.
That only happens about halfway through the episode. Mm-hmm. I really wish she would like be alive for the whole episode. That might make it more interesting. But James Spader is having such a good time that I can't help but have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like the fact that, see, I didn't know what the shot was. I didn't know what sort of super criminal he was, if he was like Hannibal Lecter or what, but instead he's like a more sneaky Lex Luthor. I mean, he's just criminal mastermind guy.
Yeah, that's a good observation.
And I kind of like that. I kind of like how he's you know, as she said, you can, you know, you can be at the Ritz or you can be in a cave with rebels and you don't give a shit. You know, you're fine either way. His character fascinates me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm enjoying it. I've seen the first three. So
see, I would have liked Joe from The Following to be more like him. To me, now get the, now, okay, you see the two villains.
Right.
Or I don't know if you, well, yeah, we'll call him a villain.
We don't know what he is yet, really, because it's
anti-hero, however, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
A freelancer, whatnot.
Yeah. He's like the Monitor. Basically.
If anything, it's like, I can see James Spader creating a better following group than
he already
Joe.
Has it. We've,
well, I know he already has. I know he already has it, but it's a much more tight knit. You won't have this falling apart like what had happened in The Following,
right?
So quickly. I mean, if you notice, it's like, hey, I'm out of jail, and on how fast his little empire fell apart was pretty quick. Well, you know, that the second in command got dissed, of which, if anyone watched the movie, you know, that Jack Nicholson played, you know, Jimmy Hoffa, you do not diss people. You know, you do not slight people. People will even remember that. So, go ahead.
No, I think the big difference is that all of Joe's people were followers, whereas Reddington's people are individuals who just happen to know the guy and will work for him.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there's no structure there. It's because they have no structure that they are able to stay off the radar like they are.
But it's like, what works better? A group of followers or people that work for you that will take a bullet for you? You know, you wonder which dynamic works better. And
so,
I would say
so far
Reddington,
I'm saying the latter. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I enjoyed it. And man, you know, you wonder on what actors and stuff would always want to play a villain. You'd never think Isabella Rossellini, here's a part. We're going to give it to you. You're going to seem like the angel of death.
Spoilers.
Yeah. Sorry. You know, and, it's who would turn that down? You know, that,
well,
you know,
yeah,
I'm sure
that.
If Ingrid Bergman was around, if she was still around, she would play a villain on this show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could have some fun with that.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I'm just, and can I say this as well? James Spader can wear a hat like nobody's business.
Yeah. Yes, he can.
Yeah.
So are we saying that Ultron should be wearing a hat in the movie?
No. Ultron and a fedora, while that is a great name for a ska band, should not be a reality.
Right.
But yeah, no, I am enjoying that. And
yeah, I've heard some stuff that they are actually talking about having James Spader like in a suit, like they have Iron Man in there.
I don't think they need to do that. Look at how James Kevin Spacey did really well with Moon.
Yeah, I think it would be hilarious though if they had put Kevin Spacey inside that boxy looking robot. It would have been like R2-D2 writ large. He would have been like sitting cross-legged in it.
Oh my God, they did that on Regular Show. They it was this cartoon. I love this cartoon. John's kids watch Regular Show.
Nope.
And it's what? No?
No.
I thought they were watching it.
Nope.
Why aren't they watching it?
Nope.
Make them watch it.
Nope.
I told you, make them watch it.
Nope.
Anyway, it's like Slacker as a cartoon, but it's like this giant what is he? A blue jay and a raccoon. They're friends and they work in a park. Go figure. Anyway, they go to this like convention where there's this like R2-D2 type TV creature that was an 80s show. Anyway, it turns out that there was this old man in the box. And he was all hunched up and folded in.
In
this,
the box.
In this, he was doing all the voice and stuff, just like Kevin Spacey.
Doing my voice like Kevin Spacey.
What?
What?
Huh?
Mm. What in the world?
What the hell are you doing?
He's drunk.
You drunk, John.
I heard something fall over. Are you doing an impression of Black Bolt when he's drunk?
What?
I'm so confused. So, no, oh, and...
Well, so John's gone bye-bye.
What have you got, Egon?
So, oh, sir, what do you like about Blacklist?
I would say the entire show revolves around the performance of Spader. Without him, who really gives a shit?
Yep.
And it's, I'm it's perfectly like fine
Irons,
with that.
Yeah, it's like Jeremy Irons on the Borgias, right?
Right.
That's the reason why that's watchable.
And I'm perfectly Look. Fine with it.
Yeah.
You know, as long as he continues to be fantastic and awesome, I will keep watching it.
Well, the writing
when
is
he
pretty
fails,
good.
The show yep. turns to shit and I leave.
Well, the writing is good. I just, it's like I said, it comes alive when he's on the show, and when he's not there, I want him to get back there because I don't know where they got FBI chick from, but she's just, I'm like, wow, you have basically, she could not carry the show. If James Spader,
no.
if his character was like locked in an elevator by a bad guy for an entire episode, the whole show would collapse in on itself.
Yeah, but you know what? I think the later, because of what they're doing with her weirdo husband, whatever, I think you're going to find her get... I think they might let her character grow.
God, I hope so.
You know?
Because I'm just literally... I'm sorry. We're just literally... The two times she sucks someone with a pen are like the only times when I've been interested in her at all.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's because, too, they're also trying to bring other... It's kind of interesting. It's not a really, you know, a grouping, but there's other people that are as of interesting, you know, that are interesting. Like, I'd like to see that Diambe guy a little bit
yeah.
more. And even, okay, like, well, spoiler, but the CIA chick or the NSA chick.
Yeah, who was in Bend It Like Beckham. That's why
yeah, she's I like her.
Yeah, she's good. And I like
Carrie
Lennox.
Did she play Bendham or Beckham?
She was the like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I also like Harry Lennox because I just want to hear him talk.
Right, yes.
Okay, is it just me or is Harry Lennox basically sitting around waiting for the Obama biopic to happen?
I think so.
Because he... It sounds like Obama.
I know, he does.
But his voice is amazing. That's what we need to do. I think we should post something on the White House. What is it? 20,000 signatures to have to respond?
Yeah.
We should put together a petition to get Obama to read that bit of Dark Knight Returns that Harry Lennox did. In your later moments, Clark, I want you to remember. that would be great. But,
Oh, so Sleepy Hollow got renewed after three episodes for next season.
Well, and Blacklist got a full order.
Yes.
What's Sleepy Hollow on? What network?
Fox. It's actually pretty good. I like it. Because, what? What? Whatever. It takes place in upstate New York. What's not to like? Anyway. I like that, you know, here you have a strong African-American female character, and unlike FBI girl, she does really well. You know, that she holds her own with, you know, Ichabod Crane. Just saying.
I haven't watched it.
Right. That's okay.
But
it's
sorry,
a unique geek. Is watching it and he's liking it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure what that means.
I don't know. You got a headless horseman guy that can actually use a semi-automatic. What's wrong with that?
So much harder to aim.
I don't know. Somehow his aim, yeah. He missed the two guys with the vehicle. Yeah. I'll give you that.
But I will say that, is the Headless Horseman guy as good as Christopher Walken as the Headless Horseman?
Mm. Oh. Tough call.
You know, I didn't mind that movie either.
Oh, dude, I love that film.
Really? You didn't like it? I didn't
Why?
Like it.
Why? Really?
Well, let's see. It was 15 years ago, and I've seen about 1,000 films since then, so it's hard for me to remember. I think basically it was like, to get to the end and the reveal, if I recall, was just the most convoluted, crazy thing to the point where it was like, oh, come on.
All right. I will say that I liked... To me, even if they don't say this, it was a good homage to a Hammer film. It was a good homage.
Well, and it looked beautiful. I mean, it's a so.
But I mean, he had all the people who would have, well, Michael Goh was in there, and he was in a Hammer film. So, Christopher Lee was in Hammer film. So, I will watch it if it's on.
I don't know. I might need to revisit it. Mm-hmm. But I remember at the time I was like, nah, it's all right.
I don't know. We need to should we do that audio commentary before Halloween and then we could post it for Phantasm? We should do that.
For Phantasm?
For Phantasm. We need to do that.
I need to rewatch Phantasm because I think I saw it. I was too young to appreciate the insanity of it. Mm-hmm. So maybe now that I'm older, I will just think it's the bee's knees.
It's awesome.
So I have a question. I need a consult here. Who has seen Breaking Bad?
I have.
Okay. So John, have you watched it to its recent conclusion?
Oh, hell yes.
Okay. So John, I have to ask you a question. Now don't shoot me. All right. Until you understand the question.
Should you take him home or shoot him now?
Shoot him now. Which season? Or seasoning. So I'm 5 episodes into the first season.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any sort of hump that one has to get over before the show takes hold and you go, holy fuck, I have to watch all umpteen seasons of this?
Since the first season is only 8 episodes, I would give it the first season.
Okay.
Because I know what you're feeling. I felt this. I actually originally picked it up and started watching. I watched about 3 or 4 episodes, and I said, eh.
Well, here's...
Yeah. And then I picked it back up, and I finished, and I went through the first, and I went, oh.
Okay.
And then it kicked
All right,
out.
Well, that's cool. Thank you. Because here's where I... And this is not a huge spoiler for anyone who hasn't started it, because they... Everyone sort of knows the initial premise, but I kind of dug the idea of Bryan Cranston as this guy who just doesn't give a fuck and starts to, you know, unravel at the same time that he's trying to come up with this way around it. But then this whole idea of in the 5th episode, well, there is a way out of it. He just doesn't feel like doing it because of his pride. And he does this great speech about why he doesn't want to, you know, get treatment, and then changes his mind. And I'm like, okay, wow. Because I'm like, I don't really like... The only person in this show I liked was Bryan Cranston, and I'm not liking him now.
Again, give it...
All right.
Give it the first season.
Well, that's what I wanted to check.
And, you know, and maybe watch the first episode of the second season.
Okay.
Just because... I know how you feel because it's 90% of the fun is watching Walter White's transformation.
Okay.
It's because Cranston does such an amazing job as
he's fantastic
as Walter White, and
I am so glad that he is so far beyond Malcolm in the Middle at this point.
And I think that so somebody cool. said it may have even been Uwidge. The only other better ending to the series would have been if he wound up in witness protection, and that was Malcolm in the Middle. That would have been the only
nice.
But somebody, I can't take credit for it. Somebody else mentioned it.
I haven't seen the ending, so don't spoil it for me.
Oh, hell no. You can't spoil because of all series endings, that has set the new,
really?
Yeah. More so than Newhart?
More so than, oh yeah, Newhart. You know what? I was going to joke about MASH, but Newhart is the shit.
It is.
Newhart was genius. The only way I think it could have topped Newhart is if it had been the Malcolm in the Middle thing. Honestly. And that would have been a nod to Newhart. It wouldn't even have been something new. That Newhart. Yeah. Fuck, that was brilliant.
Lionheart. Dragonheart.
Or you find out that that he's in witness protection and Malcolm in the Middle, and then you pan back and the Malcolm in the Middle house is in the middle of a snow globe.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Sorry.
But the ending of Breaking Bad leaves, I mean, I think universally everyone has agreed that it has left everyone completely satisfied, unlike, say, Lost or
the reason why I asked about was there a hump to get over is because when somebody starts watching The Wire, I say give it 3 episodes because it's a slow burn. And if you just watch the first episode, I mean, unless you've seriously been told, no, really, keep at it, it's intriguing, they're building up to something, then you might, I don't know, get discouraged and leave. But I'm like, yeah, if you can make it to the chess game and you're not hooked, then I have no fucking clue who you are.
It's funny because to bring up The Wire, because it was just as I was coming home, I was listening to The Nerdist, and they had Tom Hanks on there talking to Tom Hanks, and he was talking about, oh, yeah, neither of them had gotten to watching The Wire yet. And wow. Tom Hanks points out that is the only series I've ever heard of that people argue over when you start to get it, how many episodes you've got to give it. And people are like, I give it till the third season. No, you got to give it the second season. No, if you don't get it in the first season, you know, it's pretty funny.
What? No, it's not a season. No, not at all.
First episode, fifth episode. You know.
See, I had that same problem with Firefly. I watched the 2-part pilot and then the train episode, and I was like, that's it, I'm out. I hated, and I still to this day hate, the train episode. And everybody for years was telling me, well, you just got to keep it. You know, it's the next one. You got to get through the next one, and then it clicks. And it really did.
But it only had how many episodes?
12. Yeah, like 9. 10, 12.
Nine.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, you know what's a great show? Who here likes Barney Miller? Who liked Barney Miller?
Well, I did.
It's fine.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh,
holy
yeah, I love that
shit.
Show. It's actually really funny.
That is funny. Really? Adrian Brower is awesome. That's his name.
Wow.
And, yeah. And Sandberg's actually enjoyable.
He's watchable. It's just like Barney Miller, but, you know, for, you know, the next century. You know, it all takes place in, you know, the cop area where they're filling out the boring reports, which is what they always, you know, you had Wojo, it's always, you know, two-finger tapping and stuff. It's just like that. It's really, I'm waiting for, you know, a couple, like Ron Glass to make an appearance.
Well, Abe Vigoda's still around.
Abe Vigoda, yeah. Yeah. But this one is kind of cool because they actually go out on a couple of, you know, they'll cut away and they're at a crime scene or something every once in a while, but it is funny. It is. It's really worth looking into.
Oh, wait, I've got it. I've got it. Wait, everybody's seen the whole, the Starbucks having Starbucks in a Starbucks.
Yes.
Picture. Yeah. All right. So what you do is you hand Abe Vigoda an actual fish or have him eating fish and chips at a fish concert. So it's fish eating fish at a fish concert. No?
Inception.
Then it could be also eating fish food from Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah.
Fish eating fish with fish.
Yeah, I saw some.
The band.
That's with the, well, I mean, I'm sure if you went to Fish and said, Abe Vigoda's here, that's, oh, invited backstage, because he's Abe Vigoda.
In the Seattle.
Yeah. We can have some fish with us.
Did you mention in the Seattle fish market?
Oh, see, surrounded by fish. Mm-hmm. Well, you could also do that
at SeaWorld.
Yeah. At an aquarium of some kind. There you go. You have fish.
Well, Blackfish plays in the background.
Blackfish?
The screen movie. The movie.
Oh.
Yes. Go to SeaWorld and screen Blackfish.
Oh my god, I watched that. Oh my gosh. Did you guys see that?
No. What is this?
Blackfish. It's the documentary about pretty much Tilikum, the killer whale down in SeaWorld that killed the trainer.
Oh. Apparently
he did it before. And
it's basically an anti-SeaWorld documentary.
Yeah, it's an anti-SeaWorld. Well, actually, the thing is it's an anti, you know, keeping these large animals in pretty much a bathtub, too. It's interesting. There's a whole, it's so in-depth, this documentary, that pods of cetaceans, killer whales, or, you know, mammals, basically, they're almost like different countries.
Yeah,
they're
killer
like
whales
different...
are actually dolphins.
What?
Killer whales are actually dolphins.
Okay. Anyway, when they group, you know, killer whales together, a lot of them are not from the same pod. So it's like they don't even speak the same language. You know, you'll have like
cetaceous culture shock.
Yes. And Tilikum, which is pretty much one of the only male in captivity. Basically, it's really gross, but, you know, they pretty much milk him for all of his semen going. And most of the in captivity whales are pretty much progeny from him. Anyway.
Oh, that's good for genetic diversity.
Yeah, it is. When they introduced Tilikum to SeaWorld, the females pretty much would just gang up on him all the time, and they were like, they showed where
in a way that guys like or not.
Nah, because they would like cut him and stuff and
knives.
I don't know. I kind of like that.
Well, there's ways they can rake him with, you know, I guess it has to do with their skin or something.
I'm gonna rake you like a Zen garden.
Pretty much, yeah. If you the way it's like a shark skin, you know how shark skin's like really rough.
Yeah.
There's ways that they could, you know, cut each other. Anyway, he's pretty much psychotic right now, and he's in this lone area, and pretty much they just bring him out once in a while, and this poor whale is
in solitaire.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And they don't know enough about whales to give him like a whale version of like lithium.
No, and the thing is all the people who are trainers, they have no science background whatsoever. They're just like, hey, you know, they just look the part. They showed this guy who was a trainer. And one of the whales grabbed his foot and dragged him to this guy was like a trained, he was like one of the only trainers that was able to survive one of these attacks. This whale would, I guess, you know, it would grab his foot, drag him down to the bottom and just, you know, shake him around. And the guy was able to hold his breath so that the whale bring him back up. I mean, he was kept doing this. But the guy kept calm that he was able to get away. And then you see the whale going right after the guy again. But they were able to get, like, this fencing up. But it's a really interesting, you know, it's a way of, you know, it's a documentary of, really, it is an anti, you know, SeaWorld.
But legitimately anti-SeaWorld.
Legitimate, yeah, it's legitimate, yeah.
So it wasn't like the killer whale was hazing him, and after he survived the attack, he was like, all right, you're one of us now.
Yeah, no.
One of us.
No, it's very scary. It's sad and scary. And a lot of the ex-trainers are like, yeah, we thought we were doing something great, and we really are not. You know, it's, you know, they'll watch old footage and stuff, and they're like, you know,
God help us if anybody shows these things Orca.
You know, they actually brought that up. They brought that up about, you know, like, here's this killer. You know, and the thing is they had this one guy who was on one of the boats when they got Tilikum. And Tilikum was really young, when they separated a mother and a child. And the screams and stuff, or he said it was unreal. He goes, I wanted to, you know, almost kill myself then. It was that horrible. But it happened at SeaWorld when one of the females gave birth, and they just, here's the thing, whale children do not leave the pod. They're, you know, it's like, yeah, here's my 50-year-old son. It's sort of funny. People at SeaWorld will say that whales have a better chance of living long lives in captivity, where it's actually the reverse in the wild, that a lot of whales will live way past 50, 60 years, and they don't leave home or away from the pod. So they actually took away one of these, you know, one of the children, and they couldn't do anything. There was no consoling this mother that lost her child. It's an eye opener. Yeah, it's an eye opener, you know, for, you know, a documentary. So watch Orca instead.
Oh, Richard Harris.
Yeah.
So when they make all those noises, it's actually them going, Etika, Etika, Etika.
Kind of, and it'd be like, I don't know what you're saying, Mildred. What are you saying? Because they don't speak their language.
So, different. So they're actually doing like the American, like being really loud and saying, I need to go to the bathroom.
That's right. You know what? The thing I was surprised at, they didn't have the scene from the Partridge Family. There was an episode where
killed someone?
No, where Shirley Jones was singing, you know, called the Whale Song or something. And it was like it was the time period when they actually found out that whales actually were speaking.
Tell me she was doing that thing like Dory in Finding Nemo.
No, she was not.
Yeah. I just like the idea of Shirley Jones doing that.
Yeah.
You probably couldn't get the rights to it.
Yeah. Could be.
Well, it's the killer whale version of Happy Birthday, and the royalties are ridiculous. It is so much. The royalties are a ton of fish.
It's a ton of fish, and throw in some seals. They were in this documentary. They were showing the killer whales. They apparently the footage was from one of those whale watching tours, and they were watching a bunch of killer whales cooperating on getting the seal who was on this little ice floe, you know, so that they can eat them. It was really interesting, and this one lady's voice kept going, oh my god, they're gonna get that seal, oh my god. And this guy's like, yep, look, there they go.
Nice.
I hate when people don't realize that, you know, it's not all Disney-fied.
I know, yeah. She's one of them, this lady. All I can imagine, she had these big glasses, and she had a little knit hat. I already imagined what she looked like. Little short hair, it was all curly. She had one of those Land's End duffel jackets with mittens. That was my imagination of this lady.
I don't know, she sounds more like hippy dippy, you know, wanting to get all animals to be vegetarian.
No. I don't think so.
And that's the pause that refreshes.
Here you go. Yeah.
Nice going there, John.
Oh, okay. So I should say this.
What?
Before our friends.
Oh, they're not going to show up. They're all late.
Well,
they're all watching.
Probably. But here's the
or recovering.
Here's the thing. So you guys have seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yes.
John, serve?
I've seen the first
yes.
two.
Yes.
I haven't Sorry. Seen tonight's, obviously.
Obviously.
Okay, so, I don't think it's that good.
Hey. Widge? Widge?
Yeah,
what? You're yeah. right. You're right.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm giving it, 6 episodes only because it's a Jaws production and Joss production. I never got to pronounce his first name. Sometimes that's the case, but so far the dialogue, I want to tear my ears off.
Well, it's not, to me, it's not even the dialogue. It just has, I don't know. It just feels so television.
It's,
you know what
yes,
I mean?
It's television. There should be no reason. This is what I said about the dome, under the dome. There's great television out there. There are ways that television production could be kept under wraps. You can do this and make something look cinematic. People want, you have, there's a reason people have 60-inch death rays in their living room.
But see, here's the thing. I don't,
yeah,
I don't
that's
think
what
it's,
I call it.
But see, I don't think it's just even the cinematography. I think it's just,
I don't know. Last episode was really bad.
Well, story wise and character wise, and it just feels so television.
Yeah.
And not even the way it looks. It's just the feeling of it, the way it's written.
Here's my thing is like, they find supposedly 084 is like this big mysterious, ooh, what could this be? And it's just like an old death ray. I'm like, really? Old German death ray that ended up in South America.
Yeah.
I mean, I was expecting something a bit, you
know. They couldn't even bring up, like, the name Joseph Mengele or something interesting, you know.
Well, he was more the biological stuff. So
well, I know, but, you know.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I think my hope is that they will, since it looks like it's actually succeeding in whatever it is they're trying to do with it, that's
counter programming.
But you know, A-Team, here's the thing. A-Team, when they went to South America, it looked like South America. Didn't they go to South America?
At least from the perspective of someone in LA who'd never been to South America in the 1980s.
Right.
Well, and bearing in mind that I, you know, when I was watching the A-Team, I was what, 14 or something? So I'm sure I was filling in the details in my brain.
Right.
As to what South America was supposed to look like.
But it's like, hello.
I think you were younger than 14.
Well,
okay.
I don't remember when it aired. I don't remember my childhood.
And here's another thing. You've got a Mayan temple. I mean, that could be cool, but you only have the one room.
And nobody is sweating. You're in South America, okay? And everybody's got sweaters on. What is the matter? Nobody looks filthy dirty. And whatever happened to the doctor?
The
archaeologist guy just sort of disappeared.
Well, he's the vision.
They told him to leave for his own safety, though.
Well, but where did he go?
To the place where doctors are safe, the doctor safety place.
What? Was that a thing at your house?
Was that castanets?
I don't know. John, what was that?
Yes.
It was a beautiful double play by the Rays to get them out of a full.
Oh, wow. And told me about it.
Oh,
beautiful
sports! Yay. Okay, back to interesting stuff.
Florida State.
I'm a little worried that they're playing the stuff after the credits so early in the show.
Well, that's their shtick.
That's their shtick, but I mean, for the second episode, I mean, can't they? I mean, it worries me that they're going to that so quickly.
Well, here's what I think they were doing.
Well, wait a minute. You realize that they didn't know how the reception of the show was going to be.
Right. I mean, that's a pilot.
It was filmed a while ago.
Right. I mean, that's a pilot. But I think the reason they did it in the second episode is because they wanted to show very early on. This is tied in more than just us name dropping things from the movies. They wanted to show, hey, this is actually happening. Let's prove it and let's show that we mean business.
Listen, there is one thing I do enjoy about the show, which is that it is still a bit of world building and it does tie everything together. That's, and again, why I'm giving it several more episodes before I just kind of just relegated to letting my kids watch it. Although even they are having a hard time. You know, part of the problem with that show
is... Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. What are your... Waiting. No, no. Here's this important. What do your kids say?
They like it, but they're having a hard time following it from the standpoint of the dialogue is too... It's... Okay, so you got the Whedon dialogue, right? But in this case, it's like the sound mix is off or something, because you have a hard time hearing what they're saying at various points, and it's just... It's like they don't have the right actors.
Are you sure you don't need another television? Because, I mean, I haven't had a problem with it, and I'm half deaf.
I'm pretty sure I don't, because I have watched it on two separate televisions, and I seem to find the same problem. Sometimes they're going too fast. They're, like, rushed, and the dialogue's not that great, but it's just rushed through.
Well, your kids need to listen to more Weekend Justice, and they would be able to... They would be used to listening to fast talking and understanding what the hell's happening.
That's a negative, sir.
Yeah, they're already used to hearing their dad drunk. They don't need to hear it from a podcast.
my
problem is that the casting, especially for like the main agent, the guy with the stick up his butt, and the hacker, they're not that good. I mean, the two scientists, they're fun and cute and everything, and the girl who plays, like, the pilot, she...
Oh, I've the seen cavalry. Another,
yeah, the cavalry.
Well, she was the voice of Mulan.
Right, and she's been in... She did, like, ER and a whole bunch of other stuff, so she's good. But the guy who plays, like, the main agent and the young agent and the hacker, they're just not that good.
Well, they're pretty. I think they got cast.
Yeah, that's... Oh, God. Yeah, and that's the thing.
But I just...
And you know, really, I see them and it's like, okay, get back to Coulson. I don't want to talk... No, get back to Coulson. Now. Bring him back.
Give me Coulson and the cavalry. I want more of her. She's fantastic.
You know what I want? I want Coulson...
The scientists are fun, too.
I want the Coulson that they have on The Amazing Spider-Man, the cartoon series that they got going now.
But the principal?
Yeah. He is way better. I mean, from a voice acting standpoint and dialogue standpoint, way more interesting on that show than he is on S.H.I.E.L.D.
Now, that would be a mashup. Degrassi and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, they sort of have it. It's called The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, but actually, you know, they did that with Kevin Smith. Doesn't mean they can't go to Canada and find something weird at Degrassi. And everybody would learn an important lesson about life.
Okay.
Killing that one.
Hate you.
So, no, it's fine. I mean, it's not great by any means, but it's fine. And I'm with John. I'll go so far as to say I'll give it a whole season before I decide I just can't do anymore. But well, yeah, it's very TV. It's very meh.
Well, that's the thing is that I wish. I think part of my problem is I'm so used to watching stuff that's television that doesn't feel like television. Not even from a cinematic point of view, but from the standpoint
of... Well, it's the stuff you're watching isn't television. It's HBO. Anyway,
AMC,
moving on.
Or FX.
That was a motto, Scott. I know,
you know
it,
what
it,
I mean.
I know it
you
didn't
know
feel
I mean.
Like a joke because there, it's just sort of
no,
playing.
No,
but,
I think... Here's the thing, though. Is there anything... I don't really watch a lot of network TV. Is there anything on on ABC that does look more cinematic? Or is this something that just ABC can't do?
CBS can't do it either.
Neither can
and probably NBC.
I think it's network television can't do it.
Interesting.
I think on a whole, the even Fox has sometimes a problem. It depends on the show. I think the three, you know, the major networks cannot do it. Now you look at shows like The Shield and Damages and the FX shows, they look great. And then of course you go to HBO and where they have the money. But I mean, even Mad Men doesn't look like television.
Well, but see, here's the thing. It's like, here's an example. I thought of an actual full-on example. It's that in a cinematic piece or a cinematic piece of television, you don't necessarily have everybody buddying up to one another because things are more complicated than that. There may be a situation where they are, like with the Avengers, where they don't get along, but by necessity they have to, right? And then by that they at least respect each other. I mean, because, I mean, that was the whole point of the setup to the call it captain, which is like my second favorite line in the entire movie, because that's the whole, that line is the culmination of phase one of the cinematic universe. It was fucking brilliant. But here, so the difference is here, you've got these characters who you know are all going to get along and like each other. You could just tell, like at the end of the pilot, where they shot the guy with the night-night gun or whatever the fuck it was called, and then they all had this moment where they all looked at each other and did that ha-ha type of moment that just makes you go, oh, God, I just felt that in my oh. So, I mean, is it just me? You know what I'm talking about? That yeah. Just formulaic. I would much rather have a situation in which some of them can't fucking stand each other. I mean, literally, like, if you were on fire, I would not piss on you to put you out, whether or not I had a mutant ability to put people out with urine or not. I don't care. I would let you burn. However, the only reason I might put you out is because I need you for this next mission. You know what I mean?
I think they're doing some of that with the cavalry.
She'll come around.
I know, but I mean, at least it seems like it's more of a process than just like a couple episodes are all, they're all buddy buddy. And the thing is, you know, Joss.
Well, the best.
Joss should know how to do this. I mean, Buffy was an ensemble show and it did take, you know, and those characters definitely had ups and downs.
Well,
so
the good
I don't
thing
know
is,
if this is like him or ABC wanting something more patently, you know, TV or I don't know.
The good thing is that because it is a Whedon production, there's a good chance most of those characters will die off anyway. It's true. Look it up.
Well, I tell you what, I would
see. That's what I'm wondering. How much control does Whedon have over this?
Well, okay, so
it's executive producing.
He's executive producing. That's
true. Anybody can be a ham sandwich can be an executive producer.
Okay. So
I'm just saying that, I mean, that's given
for,
to like, so I don't know.
For Lee's sake, let's hope that he has very little oversight in it because Lee really wants it on her track at Dragon Con. Otherwise it goes to Whedonverse. So, but I think that he has, from my understanding and from what I've read, is that he has the vision, no pun intended, for the show and where he wants it to go. He has the beats, but the reality is that after like the first few episodes, he's kind of hands off and it's supposed to run itself. But the reality is that even the first episode wasn't that good.
He takes his hands off, whose hands are going to it?
His brother's one of the showrunners, I believe. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I would hope that they would do some more with it. If you know what, here's what it feels like. It feels like what in comics is like the what you call it. You know what? It's like in comic books they've forgotten how to write comics for kids, so it's got that horrible comics for kids feel. You know what I'm saying?
Oh my gosh! Yes.
They're trying too hard.
What the hell is that? It
should be in Dynamite or something.
No, there was a
kid magazine.
Marvel had a line. Hang on.
Go to Google and look that up.
What was it called? The line they did for kids. It was fucking awful. Where was it?
The more recent one?
Yeah.
Hold on, because I bought several for my son. Not Marvel Now.
You bought several terrible comics for your son.
No.
Marvel. Crap. Not All Ages.
Yeah, Marvel Crap sounds about right.
It's not called All Ages. Look, Google Marvel All Ages.
It
might give you okay. the.
Oh no! This is too recent. The one before that. The one they did before that.
Oh God! Hold on. Prepare yourself.
Oh shit! What?
Hi, Lee.
Hello.
Wow, you are loud as always, Lee. Lovely to hear from you.
I didn't mean to be.
I mean,
why so loud?
I don't know, Lee. What the hell was that called? Anyway, there was
But yeah, I think S.H.I.E.L.D. is awesome, and we should stop talking about it now.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't even going to bring it up.
Whatever.
I wasn't.
Don't believe you.
How's my microphone now?
It's better. It's
okay.
It wasn't even you. It was the background of the behind you. The ambient noise behind you was really loud. So that's how I knew okay. you were loud.
That's I'm the only one in the den. Cat, what did you do? Okay. Hi.
She's talking to the cat again.
I always talk to the. Trust me. I don't talk to this
she
cat.
Always talks
she
to the
he bites.
Marvel Wait. Adventures.
Yes.
Marvel Adventures.
Yes, that was horrible.
All of what those were that? Horrible. It was an all ages line of Marvel comic books that was written.
Can you
that was,
can you post the link so we can all experience the awfulness?
No. I mean, I've just found the title. I mean, unless words.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying it was written for your kid to enjoy if your kid had, you know, recently been in some sort of horrible accident, and you know couldn't feed himself any longer. So that's what it was written for.
It's short bus special.
It was horrible. I mean, it was like I remember when I got into comics, I was like, I mean, the first time I read comics, it was a JLA JSA crossover. So I'm like, I just jumped in at the deep end of the pool. Mini Worlds Theory? Fuck yeah, let's do this. And this was like a giant, you know, monster destroying the city while talking about getting jiggy with it. And you know, it was also written like your dad when when he wants to use the words that are hip with the kids.
Oh god,
that's fucking awful.
So it was basically written by 40-year-olds who may have watched MTV a little bit and think they know all about youth culture.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, it was pretty awful.
Fuck.
Yeah. So.
That's terrible.
The worst part is if you watch MTV now, you probably will know about youth culture instead of music videos.
There are no music videos on MTV anymore.
Exactly.
There are, but they've isolated it to like early morning.
There are no dogs left in Excelsior.
By the way, sir, another strange double play that Ray's just pulled off.
Really?
Yes. It's a really bizarre game that's going on right now. We're in the third inning with our third pitcher.
Yike. Hellickson, I didn't think he'd last long, but I thought he'd go longer than three innings.
All right, that's been your Sports Minute here on Weekend Justice.
Dun, dun,
yeah, my
dun,
Braves
dun.
Lost yesterday. I mean, Atlanta had a really shitty day in all sports yesterday. Braves lost, Falcons lost. Hawks lost.
Wish I could feel bad about you for the Falcons losing, but I am a Bucks
But fan. Hey, you know, think of it this way. You only lost Julio Jones for the rest of the season.
And that's been your Sports Half Minute here on Weekend Justice.
Dun, 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 dun.
Fantastic.
It's fantastic.
So, Lee, how was S.H.I.E.L.D. tonight?
You know what he did there? You see what he did there? Fantastic. Fan, like,
you know, okay, so I really like it, and I still have many, many squee moments, but the honeymoon is a little bit over, because I am seeing some things that are kind of pissing me off a little.
Ooh.
And, yeah.
Okay,
and,
now, Lee, hang on, let me just interrupt. Mm-hmm. Just to be fair, Lee, you're
yes.
not going to have Clark Gregg taking his shirt off by the third episode. I mean, just because
well,
that
I'm
hasn't
actually,
happened.
Yeah. That is one of the things they could do to make me happy. No, so.
Clark Gregg okay. fan service. You heard it here, folks.
All right, right here. Brunette balding, right there. Okay, but no, let's see. So this will be spoiler laden right now. So if you're listening,
I
know, but
episode.
If somebody is listening and hasn't seen it yet.
But I haven't seen it yet. I have not seen the third episode.
Maybe you're missing the point, Lee.
Maybe you're missing the point. I have not seen tonight's episode. I was here.
Okay, well, you guys watching, did you see the second episode?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so I can do it that way. So if you haven't seen the second episode, this will be spoilerific. I have a massive problem with people who stand in the background and don't do anything when somebody is getting punched or in a fight scene or something like that. There were two of those in the second S.H.I.E.L.D. episode, which bothered me greatly. It additionally bothered me greatly because they were women standing in the background doing nothing. And in one of them, they're in the makeshift lab thing, and Simmons is there. And so Fitz has the knife against the scalpel against his throat, and she's just standing there wringing her hands. And I'm like, you gotta have shit in that room that you could have hit him in the back of the head with. And then Kimmy already argued with me, and she's like, well, but that could have gotten, I don't give a shit. That is a ridiculous thing. You know, that could have gotten him more hurt. No, that's bullshit. You're gonna hit him in the back of the head with something. It actually bothers me consistently whenever I see a fight scene and somebody is standing there doing nothing. And then we saw that with Skye and Agent Ward, and she's just standing there. And again, we're in the big living room area. There's bottles of booze. There's freaking chairs or a book or something. Hit. I don't care if it's your damn beer bottle. Hit somebody in the damn head with something.
So,
and that bothered me.
I just like to point out that to everyone that in case you ever find yourself, you know, with somebody holding a knife or a gun to your head, Lee's first option is to shoot the hostage. So.
No.
Gives them a hell of a lot less options.
First of all, actually, a flesh wound in the shoulder isn't that bad. But second of all, no.
Ever been shot?
My first option, I'm not answering that question. My first option.
It's classified, sir.
Right.
That's a level 3 secret. You'll understand after you watch tonight.
Level 3.
The boss at the end of level 3 is the fucking worst.
Ugh. Oh, I know.
My first option.
So anyway, what I was going to.
And hit him on
and
the
then
head.
I was. Is it?
All right. Lee first, and then serve. You can hit someone over the head.
Well, that's a big part.
I just
of
wanted
it.
To talk over Lee.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine then. Okay.
Then you're just being mean.
Yeah.
The second thing, I will. You know, just be mean. I'll.
Did you get the first thing?
Well, serve just wanted to be on top of you. That's all.
Well, that's.
Woo!
Again.
Wait.
Golly. Hey, no! Wait, our spouses listen.
Wait, Lee, are you cheating on your con husband?
He's not.
Well,
here,
not really cheating.
No, you've got the con husband and the pro husband.
Now, okay, so that's one thing. The other thing that bothers me is that we all know there's something else going on with Skye, and I know that Coulson knows there is something going on with Skye, but Coulson it's Joss Whedon. So the issue here is Joss loves bringing this big family thing together and making everybody a big happy family, and then one member of that family is going to fuck over everybody. And it's going to cause family dysfunction, and people are going to question their self-worth and their esteem and their intuition, and we get all of this drama mama stuff, and I hate it, and it bothers me, and it's very Joss Whedon formulaic. However, the other thing about Joss Whedon formulaic is sometimes he kills characters, and I got a list for him already.
All I can say is
go on.
As I said before, I think I said this on Facebook. The only thing I want to do more than read a monthly comic book about the cavalry is to write a monthly comic book about the cavalry. Agent May rocks my ass.
Agent May is the only character so far that has not made me go, oh my goodness, stop it.
She's the only, other than Coulson, are like the only adults in the group.
Well, they are totally setting up Coulson. They are literally in this show setting up Coulson to be the dad.
It's a magical place.
It is. Tahiti is a magical
place. Wait a minute, what?
They're totally setting Coulson up to be the dad.
Why?
Coulson is the Joy Summers of this. Coulson is the, oh shit, Anthony Stewart Head. Coulson, you know, Coulson is the Reverend Book. Coulson, he is that character in this. And that is again, Whedon-esque. Now, I think they're fucking with that a lot, and you'll see some of that in this episode, which I can't talk about, but, yeah. So, but that's fine. I don't mind that. I don't mind that. And Agent May, the Cavalry freaking rocks my socks too, Edge. She's awesome. And I've always liked Ming-Na Wah in anything else I've ever seen her in, but this one is just like, really like her in this. She's awesome.
Hey, ladies and gents, I gotta go, but it was good hearing from all of you, and I'll talk to you again very soon.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Go watch S.H.I.E.L.D. It was fun.
Go watch Boardwalk Empire. Oh, hey, we can talk about that now.
Yay. So,
see, and I can't spoil anything for episode 3.
So, what I want to know is, if they're setting up Coulson to be the dad, does that make Agent May Alice? Never mind.
Huh? So,
oh, that God, one.
Thank you, Scott.
Help me.
You'll figure it out on the way home. So yes, Boardwalk Empire.
Yay.
Oh, good, you're going to talk about that so I can go get a beer. Okay.
Yeah, go.
Okay.
Yeah. So Rox.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. But
you
know what?
Do you?
What? Okay,
really?
We
How often?
Well, hold on. Last week, they've said it was nice because we were able to listen to Eddie actually sing.
Yes.
The character that, the band that plays Eddie is actually a Metropolitan Opera singer.
Yes.
And he was like one of the only people on this show that Martin Scorsese actually went to and said, "You're in my show. I want you in my show." Because, you know, Marty goes to the opera and he knows this guy and he likes what he does. And it was nice. We were able to hear him sing. That was awesome.
That was good.
And then it all went downhill.
Yeah.
Major spoilers. You want to talk about spoilers?
Yeah, spoilers. Spoiler alert for this last episode, episode 5.
Yes. Well, last week was setting up. I think we're going to see like a rise of a new Jimmy with Willie.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Eli's character, or Eli's son's character. You know, Eli's son is a troublemaker of sort. I wonder if they're setting up Nucky to be like the Commodore in a way.
Right.
You know, taking on the young one, you know, to have some sort of somebody to do his bidding, a younger person, because he lost Jimmy.
Right.
I mean, I wonder if this will be a play for that. So
lost Jimmy and then lost, what's his face in the box?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. He hasn't replaced him. Yes. So
they lost somebody in a box?
Yeah. Lee, because he was living in a box. He was living in a cardboard box.
Yeah. So the big spoiler is, go ahead, Widge.
Yeah, Eddie bought it.
Eddie bought it. Yeah. Yeah.
Bought it himself.
Yeah. He fell on his sword, people. He really did. You know, I'm amazed at that baby-faced FBI guy. I really thought he was going to be like this milk toasty kind of guy, and he's a fucking bastard. I mean, you know, we thought, what's his name, was really bad. Mike, or, what's his name's character?
What, Michael Shannon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This guy's evil.
Yeah.
You know? He gets the goods on Eddie. Eddie didn't have a really good background, it seems. He abandoned his family, and comes to the U.S. and stuff. So, But I think here's a guy that, if anything, from his past indiscretions, he found honor somehow amongst thieves.
Right.
You know, that, you know, instead of disgracing, you know, and going against, you know, and turning in Nucky and really bringing shame upon his family that he, you know, that disowned him as well. You know, he fell on his sword. The honorable thing to do in that type of situation. Well, instead of being, you know, how do we really want to see a play out of, you know, we have so many people who are teetering on edges. Do we need to see his demise week after week?
I honestly thought before he became a bagman, mm-hmm. I thought he was just going to retire.
Yeah, I did too.
And then, you know, right off into the sunset. But the only thing that bugs me now is I'm like, well, Nucky doesn't even know what happened unless Eddie was writing in German to tell somebody what happened.
Right.
So I'm like, you'd think I want revenge now, you know, against assholes.
Yeah, that would be, yeah, you're right. You know, unless he wrote it in German, said, hey, here's the guy after you, and give him at least a warning, I would have done that.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to end it, at least give some sort of, you know, help on that. And apparently Frank Capone, it's Frank, right?
Yeah.
Apparently he did die that way.
Yeah. Cosette was looking it up while we were watching. But yeah.
So... which was funny because we really didn't see much of him, but I guess since he did die in Cicero like that.
What was funny was I read that he apparently was even more violent than Al in real life.
I think in a more insidious way.
Just because at one point I got really into gangsters. He was actually the much more, I know.
It's always the bad boys, Lee. It's always the bad boys.
It's always the bad boys. Not really. It's actually usually the very good boys that I like to do bad things to. But.
Hello.
But actually, he was actually a little more sadistic mm-hmm. than Al, but he was also the one where Al would just shoot you, like, looking right at you.
Mm-hmm.
He was the one who liked to come at you from the back.
He did.
Really liked to put the knife. Hello. He liked to put the knife and like twist it, and you know, he liked to do little things, because one of the other things supposedly that he taught to Al was, look, make them question everybody who's their friend.
Oh yeah.
Always make them question that. And that was supposedly something he taught to him. And because that way they were always like, they were always looking over their shoulder, and they were always paranoid, and then they could never ever, you know, they couldn't trust anybody because that was the one thing. And no, gangsters didn't have a whole lot of trust anyway, but yeah, he was kind of, if Boardwalk Empire was doing that, good job, you did your research. Congratulations, you get a gold star.
And
or a gold bootleg top for your boots, whatever.
Yeah. I now wonder about though Jillian's guy. I want to know what dark secret he's got, because I was really hoping for a giant train wreck with her, and if he's going to help her through her drug addiction, you know, I'd be kind of disappointed.
Well,
I was here's the thing. He's part of the
Isn't that a bit of a quiet
thing, right?
Story for that show?
Yeah.
The guy helping her with a drug addiction, isn't that kind of the soft story for that show?
Yeah, it is kind of a, yeah, cause we don't, this guy is part of what, Piggly Wiggly, not AMP. He was meeting the AMP, right? The guy, AMP guy? Okay. So, you know, he's on the outs with his wife. Yes. He's on the outs with his wife, and he's like, I don't think they've done it, him and Julian, or he'd see the track marks on her. I wonder if he's using, like, you know, the Piggly Wiggly chains as like a white slave racket. it would be interesting.
Wouldn't be the first time somebody used the pig for that.
That's right. Yes. Wow. So.
Weekend Justice, tonight sponsored by no one.
Yeah.
No one at all.
And apparently you go to barber shops for your hit of heroin.
Oh, yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah.
Well, would it be really for heroin?
That's what she was buying. Was it heroin she was buying? She was buying heroin. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They got her hooked on heroin and morphine. Oh, my God. She's a mess.
Well, because I would think with some of them with barbershops, like, I could have seen something like opium or maybe even morphine.
No, here's the thing. I know, but the problem with opium, you need to make it as a den, because when you do, from what I understand from Around the World in 80 Days, if you go to an opium den, you wind up almost falling asleep, so they have these beds and stuff, so you have to actually set up your opium den to, like, house people sleeping and stuff.
According to the documentary Around the
World. From the documentary. Yeah.
Rox knew about that. She was asking for a friend.
Right. Yeah, I'm asking for a friend.
So, just one quick thing. During S.H.I.E.L.D., this is not a spoiler, there was the Hobbit TV commercial.
Oh,
I know. Tuffley and I counted three characters that are not in the book. Three!
Oh, you were actively counting.
Including Nick Fury.
Yes.
Actually, yes, we think Nick Fury might make it better.
We think... Actually, Nick Fury and the Howling Commandos is actually the third film.
Oh, awesome.
That make a hell of a lot more sense than whatever the hell else I'm doing on that, so.
I'm fine.
I still
don't know how they're ending it. I'll bet anything they're ending it.
I told Kim tonight they're going to end it with a Bollywood dance number. And if they don't, I'm going to be severely
disappointed. Oh my God, the Hobbit Bollywood ripoff movie. Holy shit, I want to see that.
Now, we did hear the rumor that, of course, the female elf and the hobbit Kim thinks is, not the hobbit, the dwarf Kim thinks is hot, Tuffley.
Oh, yeah?
Well, supposedly they're going to have a romance.
Oh, I heard that, too. I heard that, like, last year.
Yeah,
that's
I mean, that's old news, but yes, but that's, like, that's a part of why they brought her in, because they needed a romantic angle on it.
But I'm trying to think, do you know which one it is? Because one of them, you know, there's a bunch of dwarves that die. Spoilers.
The book's
I think technically you could call, I don't think you can call anything about The Hobbit a spoiler.
No, I've told you my story that I know people who would not read Lord of the Rings because they didn't want to be spoiled for the movie. I literally, my head and my heart hurt. But no, who's the lead hobbit? I mean, I got the book here somewhere.
The lead hobbit?
Not the lead hobbit, the lead dwarf.
I believe that's Steven Tyler. No, wait.
Morgan Freeman, no. Patrick Freeman, no.
No, Sam Tyler. Sorry, Sam Tyler.
Whatever, whoever.
Nice.
So,
you mean Thorin. Thorin.
Yeah, that one, I think.
Yeah.
I think he and the female elf are supposed to, like, let's get it on with some
Really?
Marvin Gaye. Yeah, that's my understanding.
Wow, they're resurrecting Marvin Gaye for this, too?
I don't believe it would be him. Because he's so arrogant. His character, even in the book, is so arrogant.
And hates elves.
You know, a lonely night, you know, traveling the moors, maybe, but, you know. I don't see it.
Actually, when it came out, I was like, really? He really? Yeah, no. Yeah. He really hates, but yeah, supposedly.
Thorin, I wish I could quit you.
Trust me, I already quit those. I am not, I've already told y'all, I'm not paying to see money. I'm not paying money to see him in the theaters. So.
By the way, is there a French version of that trailer? Because you remember what happened the last time Cumberbatch spoke something French in a trailer.
What happened in the trailer?
A million women orgasmed? What?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I meant what kind of trailer? a Winnebago.
What kind of trailer do you want?
Roadmaster.
Have a
it ain't knocking. Rocks Jackson. Isn't knocking. Let me tell you.
Okay, yeah.
So can we talk Sleepy Hollow now?
Yes, it got renewed. It got renewed.
It only got renewed, but I have to say one thing about Sleepy Hollow. Okay, so since as we well know, I was predestined to love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, but you're also predestined to love Sleepy Hollow because, I mean, you and the Hollow are both very sleepy.
We're both very sleepy.
And filled with crack.
Speaking of which, Rob is here.
Hi, Rob.
I said hi Hello. A while ago. Hi, Rob.
Hi. But hold on. One thing about Sleepy Hollow, I'm sorry. I am predestined to love this show because it has a very diverse cast, and this makes me
very happy. Yes, it is. That's what I like about
I'm watching. I don't give a shit how cracky it is. I don't give a shit how much I got to turn off my history head.
I am watching
this show. It is fun crack, though.
It is. That's historically correct in the History Channel.
You have a history head?
Well, I was a history minor. It literally, what I did, and Tuffley already heard this, is basically I do the same thing I did when I watched Stargate Atlantis. I turn off any part of my head that makes logical sense. No, that's not how the military would do anything. No, that's not how anybody doing a diplomatic mission would do. Oh, Jesus Christ, of course that's not how science works.
Yes, every planet is actually Canada.
Yeah, every planet is actually Vancouver, Canada. If you turn that off, Stargate Atlantis is the most fun ever. And that's what I do with Sleepy Hollow.
But you have
as well. Because I like the act.
I like awesome. It. I like that show.
I'm having a fun time watching it. The family's having a fun time.
And it takes place in upstate New York.
See, I know. So happy.
Lee, I have one major problem with the show. And that's
just one?
The bit that I can't honestly believe.
The part that it makes no goddamn sense.
No, it makes no goddamn sense. Because I just want to ask this, Lee, and maybe you can help me out with this show, okay?
I'll try, baby.
You seriously have logic parts of you? Yes, Lee.
Lid.
Yes, Lee.
I'm going to see you in a couple of weeks.
Oh, shit.
Yes, and I'm going to have alcohol for you.
And that's good. But understand, my reach doesn't go high, but it does go quickly.
Obviously.
And Lou.
Oh, shit.
Ask John. I kicked him in the shins a lot.
And by that, you mean his copy of the album by the shins.
Exactly.
Why hey, John, did you get my email? I don't know that he heard you.
I heard you.
Did you get my email?
Yes.
Okay, that's all I want to hear. It's okay. You don't have to answer. I understand that. I understand I'm no longer important to you.
No. I haven't.
To you between April and July, August, September, when I can get you things. But that's okay. I just wanted to make sure you got the email.
Wait for Dragon Con.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm such a good mommy.
It's gotten so cold in here all of a sudden.
Hey, Rob. Rob, they found 106. Rob, they found 106 episodes.
Yeah, they found it in Rob's backyard.
It hasn't been confirmed that it's 106. We'll know later this week.
And did you, what, Rob, did you finally say, okay, I guess I'll share, or what?
First of all, Lee, if I had missing episodes of Doctor Who, Rox and Tuffley would not be on this call right now.
Right. Because they'd still be in your house watching?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we've been,
two, the artwork's already been done for them, so they've had them, some of them for a while. But really, do you really think if I had 106 missing episodes of Doctor Who, I'd be talking to you?
Damn.
I'd be like making, No, I don't mean it like that.
You'd be making serious coin.
You'd be waiting for the BBC to make you an offer for the tapes.
No, I'd be waiting for them not to sue me and then making an offer for the tape.
Ah.
And Rob, if that ever does happen, in case you ever do happen to have some things that the BBC wants to sell you, one of the things you need to ask them for Rox and I, is the naked pictures of Cumberbatch. We'll be fine as long as we get a couple of those. Whatever deal you make, we just have to satisfy.
Hold on, I know it's not here.
We'll share with you too.
The one that I hear talk about.
just a minute, wanna clarify. Cool down my temper, I tried to remember what it was I wasn't to lose. And I probably could.
Thank you, quote FDR.
Okay,
okay.
Let me ask,
that's
what
let
brings
me
the
ask
girls
this.
To the yard is the Colin Firth action. I think that's what does it.
So,
is
Ali
she already friends with the girl?
They're
in a math class. Yes, Rob.
What does she listen to?
I don't. He won't talk to her. He's like he won't talk to her. I was
so,
like, so
she listens
to
the sound
talk
of silence.
To her at lunch. I was like, talk to her at lunch. He goes, well, she sits outside, and I sit inside. I'm like, then go sit outside. Well,
so you can be inside.
Swear to God, my child is going to be like his father, who had I not made like at least the second move, there would be no son.
Lee?
Yes.
Lee? Uh-huh. I want you to stop and think.
Your testicles and you.
Okay. You're asking us. Lee, think about it. You're asking us for advice. Think about how insane that is.
Yeah, let's see. John's wife called
I need help getting alive.
Yeah, I got Kim and Tuffley set up. We know your wife calls all the shots.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, that's a bad grape. Rox, you got any advice?
Well.
Why won't he talk to her?
He's like, he says, you know, he doesn't know her. And I'm like, then that's how you get to know her, is you talk to her. So they have one class together.
Yeah, what he needs to do, he needs to find out what the combination to her locker is and steal something.
No. Okay.
Well, you're asking a super criminal. I mean, what else is
okay, what he needs to do, okay, Lee, is he has to find out, like, what books does she like within reason? Mm-hmm. What records does she listen to? Find some sort of commonality to go with that he can stomach. Because if she likes, you know, Billy Joel.
Yeah.
You know.
Rob, did you just pull Billy Joel out of your ass, or because you know I'm a huge Billy Joel fan? Which one?
I did not pull Billy Joel out of my ass, nor did I know you were a big fan.
Here's a question.
I just want to point this out.
Rob does not have any lost episodes of Doctor Who in his backyard, nor does he have Billy Joel up his ass. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And Billy thank Joel you, Beer. That just made me
probably come out.
Lee, I would venture to say that you and Billy Joel probably both drink the same.
Probably. And just like to say, drinking-wise, I'm having the Sam Adams Cherry Wheat, which is 10 times better than the Oktoberfest.
Oh, so, shit.
Lee,
it's okay, Lee, to be wrong.
She likes, or TV she likes, wrong. Or something, and start from there.
I'm getting it. All right, I'll keep trying. I'll keep pushing. Okay, thank you. Sorry, John.
He can call me your tough lady.
Just go up to, just tell him to go up to her and say, does this smell like ether?
or Lee, just have him go up to her and say, excuse me. And she'll say yes and say, can I buy you a drink or should I just give you the money?
Oh my, okay, yeah, I forgot the group I was talking to.
So you know how I used to approach girls? Middle school?
Loudly and awkwardly?
Pretty much the way I approach this podcast, no.
drunk and hoping for the best, yes.
No, actually.
And not recording.
This is so lame. God, I'm even embarrassed. I am embarrassed to mention this. So I used to go up to him with a watch, staring at my watch, and ask them what time it is.
Okay.
And that would break the ice, supposedly. Except
so,
it never really
so
worked.
That's genius.
Did that work in high school?
In high school, I just whipped out my dick.
So, you now, broke what? The ice with your horrible Flavor Flav personation?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
See, but
one day I'll run a chicken restaurant.
And I do have to admit, I never
and
had
then
a
then they'll all pay.
I have to admit,
boy.
I never had a date in high school, so, you know, I kind of get that. So.
It's okay.
We went from Flavor Flav to Angus Scrimm. Oh, I love you guys.
Oh, my God. Did you guys see this? Yes, Rob.
It wasn't their fault or your fault. They were just dumb.
Oh, thank you, sweetie.
What I think you should do is you should basically get him, like, a tiny baby bunny rabbit. And what he does is he walks up to somewhere where she is and
strangle it in front of her.
No. You just say, here, could you hold this for a second? Hand it to her. She'll take it. He lays down, like, reties his shoe, says thank you, takes it back from her, leaves. Now that'll break the ice.
Yeah, but the rat would probably shit on her with our luck.
That would break the ice too.
Well, Widge, you know there are safety videos now about people accepting strange rabbits from
this
people they
true.
Don't know.
This is true. That's true. Never accept a strange rabbit.
Your testicles and you.
Lee, have you thought about asking Richard Hatch for advice in this subject?
Oh my God, I would love to get that on tape.
I actually, now Rob, though, you have given me a question for a lot of panels that not only will be a lot of fun to ask, but will
extremely
also
mortifying for Kidlet.
The fuck out of Kidlet. That is awesome. Thank
all
you.
Right, here's some
thing. And better yet, do it on DragonCon TV multiple times.
Oh, hells to the yes, baby, of course. I'll make sure of that.
Lee, I've solved your problem.
Rob,
what you do, Lee, is you give him a copy of either issue 1 or 2 of Derelict, and he hands it up to her and say, hey, my friends put this out, you might dig it. And that'll, we'll know within 30 seconds your coolness level.
All right, here's
I think that's how we got the restraining orders, Rob.
Yeah.
Now, Rob, I think we should start with getting what Sylvester McCoy thinks Kidlet should do.
Yes, I think
we
should do that.
Yes. A nice British gentleman's, such as Sylvester? Yes.
Got you guys fooled.
Yeah, I was going to say, really?
All right,
really?
Here, wait a minute.
I think we better ask John Barrowman personally.
All right, wait a minute. Nice. Time out. Hold on.
Rox is called timeout.
Yeah. Is the girl a popular mean girl? We need to find out. We need to know where she is in the scheme of school.
Okay, remember.
Where is she in the pecking order? That is what we need to know.
Screw the kids.
Remember, he is going to, which that sounds so inappropriate. Remember, he's going to the geeky high school.
What's that mean?
Okay. He's going to the math and science high school.
Okay.
She's his geeky kids.
So is she Jordan if she's Jordan from Real Genius, then he's fine.
Okay, then it's simple. You get Henry Miller's Tropic of Cancer and give it to him and tell her, here, read this.
How about taking a phrase out of the Book of Widge and just say,
just take it off and fuck me.
Will that work?
Again, I think that's how the other restraining orders happen.
John, let me ask you this. If a young man said that to your daughter.
Oh, he wouldn't be a young man anymore.
Thank you
very
much.
He would be several pieces of a young man.
There you go. And I have raised I'll give myself a 90 on it. 85.
Okay, so
this is the question I have. Do they have any friends in common?
Mm-mm. Yeah. No?
This high school, they come from everywhere. All right, they come from all over the county.
Okay, is this like Fame for Nerds?
It is. All right,
science! I'm gonna burn some bumps.
So basically what you do is you find Irene Cara and then you get her to write a song for them.
Yeah.
He could come up to her and say, excuse me, he could come up to her, put on some sunglasses and say, I'm so sorry, you were blinding me with science.
Well, wait a minute, where is she? What is she studying? I mean,
They're all in the first year.
Is your last name Takamoto?
She's much more into math.
Let me guess, is she Asian?
Okay, so she's into
point
math.
Switch.
Okay. Oh my God! Okay, what you need to do is get on, like, I don't know, Threadless or something, and buy your son, this is your homework, buy your son some sort of geeky math t-shirt. And she'll notice it.
He already has those, and she has commented on those.
Well, okay, that means he's failing and not progressing.
Fail.
Yeah, okay, wait a minute. This is the interesting thing, is I've seen your kid, we're, you know, at the information booth. He's very good with people. So what's
wrong
with
With girls he likes, he becomes...
So he pretends he hates her.
I know. I'm trying to figure it out. I've been trying to help. And then, let me explain.
Okay, okay. How about...
Mom asking a question goes real well. Uh-huh.
Try this. Ask him, you know, sort of remind him, what's the worst that can happen?
He says, no.
By the way, just to clarify, he has not...
And tell him you'll recover if it does not go well.
By the way, just to clarify, he hasn't seen Heathers yet, right? You haven't shown him Heathers?
He has seen 16 Candles and what else do we watch?
Oh, Jawbreaker, I'm sure.
No, we didn't.
Hard Candy.
We watched Ferris Bueller and we watched 16 Candles, and when the furlough's over and I go and buy some more movies, we'll probably watch Pretty in Pink and Breakfast Club.
You hear that? You hear that, Congress? You're depriving people of John Hughes.
That's exactly right.
Have you thought about Short Men
Too? Wait a minute. What about Suddenly Last Summer? John Cusack.
Well, wait a minute. Now, Toughly, to be fair, it is listed in the UN's international human rights document that people should have a right to John Hughes films.
Yes.
We're going to cause an international incident.
And Congress is keeping me from them, you bastards.
Sounds like a war crime to me.
Yeah. So, all right, so sorry, I just wanted, he was here, and then he walked away, so, and I will never hit, and Rox, the little new kid.
Actually,
new kitten report, hold on, what?
Yeah. He went and picked out a kitten, so we let him, John, stop it. We went and picked out a cat.
Yeah.
It's his cat. Pussy. He picked it out, it is his cat, not our cat.
Okay.
Pussy.
But it's sleeping on your computer.
No, well, it is during the day, right now.
Well, that would make it an eye pussy.
Night, it sleeps with the kidlet.
Sorry.
Ow, my head. And yeah, so it's his kidlet. It is his cat. And
pussy.
But it's a very sweet cat, and it's a tuxedo. It's adorable, but it bites. It tried to bite me on the cheek.
Whoa!
It's like we found like a hobo cat. It like shiny things. It's evil.
I just want to say that I, for one, am not surprised that Lee's pussy cat bites.
I've seen that movie.
I need another beer.
You know, not all hobos bite people on the cheek. You know.
I don't know. You could just be generalizing hobos like that.
I know. Yeah, Lee.
Some of them bite people on the shoulder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That guy looks dirty.
If I was a hobo right now, I'd bite somebody. Oh, never mind.
I'm not even a hobo, and I'm feeling peckish.
It is a very cute kitten. It's also a very polite kitten.
Pussy.
May I please bite you in the face? Thank you.
Because Toughly has been over 3 times, and the kitten has not tried to make him sick.
Well, that's because it's Toughly. I mean, who would make Toughly sick?
Yeah, I make enough people sick right now.
I have had, when my father was here, I had 3 cats during that period. And every one of those cats, John, stop it. I'm sure he'll help me. Every one of those cats.
Pussy.
As soon as my dad walked in the house, those cats were like, oh, look, it's somebody who hates cats or somebody allergic to cats. I'm going to make them my best friend. Quit saying pussy. God damn it.
Hey, Scott, hold on a second.
I'm just emphasizing that they're cats. What's your problem?
When he came into your house, did it smell like
pussy?
Okay. It took him a little bit of time to catch up to you, Rob. But
it was a little slow on that one.
He's always slow.
Well, I mean,
he doesn't really know much about it.
Although that was like the thing in Rocky Horror, where there's a slight pause between anticipation. So I don't know, but
Well, it is making me wait.
Yes.
Sorry. So speaking of being made sick, so I alluded to this earlier, but Apple has finally done something really terrible to piss me off.
Oh.
It's the fact
they
that
they sent you a Samsung?
No, that would be hilarious though.
They upgraded?
It came in a box. It said it's a Samsung phone with a sticky note attached to it saying "Fuck you, Widge." Love Apple.
The artist is going to get shafted.
loves the ghost of Steve Jobs.
Oh, that's awesome. No, I upgraded the iPad to iOS 7 just to try out iOS 7.
Yeah.
And the zooming thing makes me ill.
See, here's the thing. I have not upgraded mine. I have not.
It's very simple. If you had played Space Harrier in the 80s, you wouldn't have this problem.
I played Space Harrier.
I saw the screenshots of, you know, the icons being flat, I'm like, I don't like it. So I haven't bothered. I haven't bothered at all.
You know, it doesn't bother me at all. It doesn't.
Wait, you like OS 7? See, I haven't done it. I have not.
It's fine. I'm not bothered by it at all. But well, you know,
there's some features of it that I actually like. I like the fact that there's the control center that you can easily get to shit. I like the idea of the expanded Siri capabilities. There's stuff like that I like. It's just that I was talking to Kim about this on Facebook. Is that I think. It's because I am also, it's the same reason why I can't read in the car. I can't read in the car at all. If I start reading in the car, I can feel myself start to get ill. I have maybe 30 seconds with which to finish whatever it is that I need to look at. I mean, it's fine if I look at my, you know, iPhone and to find a song or something like that. But if I'm actively reading something, even off a screen, I get ill very, very quickly. And I think it's the same reason why. With this, the zooming thing makes me crazy. And I just don't understand why, if you have something like that, it's fine if you want to have it. Like the parallax thing. I don't care about the parallax thing. I think it's pointless. To me, it's like all the animation in Windows. It's nifty for like the first 48 hours. And then you go, this is taking up way too much resources. I'm turning it all fucking off. I don't care. But I'm just like, why wouldn't you have a switch to turn it off? You know?
This is why I didn't upgrade my
iPad. What the hell is happening? Yeah, don't do it yet. Don't do it until it takes it.
You've triggered Dance Party USA.
Oh, shit. How did I do that? I don't even know how I did that. Tell me how I did it so I can avoid it in the future. Oh, John. Well played.
Has he? He hasn't played Jim yet, has he?
No.
Why did you bring that up? Why the fuck did you bring that up?
That would have been a much better show if Aretha was running Jen.
But see, Rox, here's the thing: is that my iPad is not. My iPhone is what I do my business on. My iPad is pseudo business. So if it's got iOS 7 on it, then, you know, I can live with it until I just don't look at the screen while it's transitioning, which is stupid to have to do.
I don't mind it, but then again, apparently I had mutant Samsung phones that worked. So maybe I'm not such the best source on that.
My HTC One is awesome.
I don't care how it looks, honestly. I didn't care when I had crappy gingerbread Android. At least it worked, you know? So, again.
Yeah, I mean, that's me. I just want shit that works.
Yeah. I you know, the transition is still.
Why in the world do you want things like that? Y'all asked for a lot.
Well, no, but the transition.
I don't know. When I looked at it on an iPhone, it looked like it was out of Candyland or something. Just the graphics and the way it laid it out. It just didn't. It wasn't visually appealing, so.
Yeah, I don't know. The only time I'm hardly ever looking at the icon screen of my iPhone for any long period of time. I'm generally playing music off of it, or using Siri, or using the maps, or something. So I just don't care.
Yeah.
But,
and I usually don't either, but it made me notice it when I looked at it.
Yeah.
I just looked at it and God, this is really crap.
I actually think it'll be better. It'll look better on the iPhone than it does on the iPad. Because to me, it's really weird and spread out on the iPad, as opposed to, you know, the layout that it was before, which was actually more sane.
Yeah. But
I've seen
also,
that where
the screen's smaller, so it doesn't take up that much of your vision.
Yeah, that's true. But
oh,
I mean,
oh my God, I need this. Sorry.
Yes, you do. Oh. You need. You
well,
need
Lee. Well, I mean, don't let us get in your way. I mean,
you so need this. What the hell are we talking about?
I'm putting the link here. Hold on. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm
this
almost
requires
afraid
a link.
To see this.
Mm-hmm.
This is.
Oh my God! I didn't know they made them with ribs that big.
What?
12 D batteries.
Jesus Christ, Lee! How do you?
And the optional
and
thing that you can plug
Lee
into the
also
wall.
Needs 27 inches.
I mean, it goes over her shoulder too. It wraps around the shoulder.
But Scott,
wait, it comes with a strap, really?
Scott, mm-hmm. The problem is it needs a 240 outlet. What do you unplug the dryer? What?
You know, Kim could have gotten one of these, but she went for the other one.
Hello!
She went for the Toughly model?
It's tough enough to overstuff.
I need that. And by the way, folks, what they're seeing is a shield messenger bag.
Oh, now you have
anything.
To explain it.
If that's what you want to call it, sure.
That's weird.
Yeah.
It looks more like the little the aircraft carrier that they fly in, but okay.
Hoo-ah, baby.
Hoo-ah. Would you like to
so Lee?
Yes.
I want you to know I've been waiting like a jackal for 2.5 years to tell you this.
Uh-oh.
I know you have a TV show that you really like and you're really proud of it, but I hope it gets canceled after 13 episodes.
Well, she already had one of those, though.
Already had one of those.
That's what started this whole thing. Because she had her TV show that she liked get canceled. And then she told us that she wished that our podcast would get canceled.
I only said that because you were being so mean to me about my Witches of Eastwick love. You know, I would never... I actually
I
listened
agreed
to the sound.
Say his name again.
Speaking of witches, are Rox, are you going to watch the new season of American Horror Story?
Which is, by the way, definitely a miniseries and not an ongoing television series, because I fuck it.
because it's easier to say it that way. Fuck it.
Because Kathy Bates is just too hot to see on TV every week.
Oh my gosh! Tomorrow night, Wednesday, American Horror starts up. Yay!
Wait, so American Horror Story really is that? Is that the show where the witches do covers of the Beatles like they're teenagers?
That'd be awesome.
I'm lost. What?
And then later they become Josie and the Pussycats.
This,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more
yeah.
like that. But still, I like American Horror. It's awesome.
Is that the one with the cat or the talking shark?
Stop it. I think this is going to be a really interesting season. They have...
Jabberjaw?
Oh my
Sabrina?
God! Yeah, American Horror Jabberjaw.
That would be awesome. Actually,
that would be great.
I'm tuning in right there. Actually, yeah. But
so is that
you've got Jessica
Sharknado sequel?
You've got
oh
God. Why am I blanking on her name?
Kathy Bates.
Kathy Bates and the
but
one that, who was.
There's no need to censor yourself.
Jessica Lange.
No, and Joe. Angela Bassett.
Yeah, yeah.
Those three as the head witches. I mean, mm-hmm. That's freaking
head
awesome.
Witches.
Although right now I'm trying to imagine Jessica Lange as Tina Turner, and I don't think I can.
Here's standing experience, girl. I ain't nobody's
fool. Okay.
There you go.
And there you have it.
So. Is Aretha substituting for the crickets this evening as well?
Yes.
Okay.
So
is this some sort of Buddy
it's good
Holly
that they announced themselves. Yes, Rob.
They may have all of Celestial Toymaker.
Oh, shit.
I know.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. That was the question. I'm wondering if they have, like, complete like if they're able to complete anything now. Because I'd hate to have like a shitload of episode threes. What?
Well, I think they're going to be able to complete like the moon base probably, which is two episodes, and the DVD got delayed.
Because you know, I'm thinking it's like my baseball card collection. I always ended up with like the Wilson Fisk card, you know. Just a lot of those.
Well, it looks like they're going to have more of Enemy of the World and Web of Fear, so those two stories will almost if not be complete. Because it sounds like those are the two that are complete enough that they're going to release.
Yeah.
But they're not saying what else they have yet. So,
Well, I know it's not 10th Planet. I know that it's not 10th Planet because they're releasing that animated one anyway.
No, it got delayed, though. All of the animated titles have been delayed until a further specified date.
Okay.
So, yeah. I mean, I think 10th Planet is probably still going to come out animated. But I'm guessing, you know, they won't have the one episode of Dalek Master Plan with Feast of Steven on it. They won't have that, where he breaks character talk to the audience.
Well, they don't have the prelude either, right?
No, probably not.
They don't have like the moon base Earth episode or whatever.
Yeah, what's interesting, I told Lidge about this earlier, that it is not, apparently this find is not just Doctor Who, though. It's supposed to be other BBC programming.
Which is
really
interesting. I would like to see what they have.
Well, one of the rumors is that it's some of the Dead Zombie stuff. There's a rumor that it's more Quartermaster and Zed cars. The cool rumor is that, yes, they may have some more of the Peter Cook, Dudley Moore stuff that is all
gone. Oh, nice.
Oh.
Which I would actually, rather have that rather than Doctor Who at this point.
Seriously.
So,
and what the hell? Let's just pin all our hopes into this. They have the missing Avengers episodes too. I know better now.
No, yeah. I doubt that. But even if they have, like three or four complete stories, it'll be great.
Yeah, yeah. That's just my fear though. If it were me, if my luck, I would find 106 Doctor Who episodes. And they'd all be like episode 2 and episode 3, but no complete ones.
That's still okay. Everything they got is better than nothing.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it's like Monopoly. What you do is you trade a bunch of those for a complete set that somebody else has.
Well, there aren't that many people who have other complete sets.
Well, it's true, but I mean, the important thing is to be able to build hotels.
I've got episode 2 of the Dalek Master Plan. Can you give me the prequel?
I've got 3 and 4 of Marvin Gardens.
Well, I guess the big thing, Tuffley, is are they releasing the ones they have digitally because those are the ones that are in the best shape to show, and the rest just need an extensive restoration.
Maybe they're just testing the waters.
Yeah, well, that could be part of it. It also could be, you know, the other ones aren't in that great a shape, depending on what they've got. I mean,
well, the other thing is, to be terribly honest, the classic series doesn't, the things that are on sale digitally in America are not, it's not a great selection of things. So like maybe they're using this to rekindle interest in the classic series digitally so that maybe that either encourages them to put more stuff out in that format or just leave it on DVD where they know people are buying it.
Yeah.
So I wonder if the digital hook is just to see if anybody's going to actually buy it that way.
Well, it could also be too, if it's the moon base or the other missing episode of the invasion. And they tie in with the Christmas special. You know, who knows?
Yeah.
Or if it's the Dalek one, you know. Jesus, if they have all of evil of the Daleks, that would be great, you know?
Ooh, yeah.
But actually, getting part of Enemy of the World will be great, because apparently Troughton is, from the one episode I've seen of it, Troughton is, like, amazing in it. And then there's one episode of, I think it's Underwater Menace they have. Rox, have you seen it where, like, Trouton's wearing, like, a turban and, like, Ray-Bans?
Yeah. Long time, yes.
It's just, like, the weirdest thing ever. It's, like, Patrick Trouton tries to be this, like, hip cat thing going on. And it's got, and then there's this alien that they, honest to God, called the Fish People. It's just, it's horrible. But you have to watch it.
Fish People. So,
fish people.
Oh,
fish
okay,
people.
Here's the
roly
thing.
Roly poly fish people.
Okay,
Lee.
Here's my question. Okay, if they do legitimize, you know, yes, we do have these 106, you know, episodes, when would they would hold those close to themselves and see about making them DVDs, right?
Yeah, well, the first thing they probably have to do, I think the problem with this whole rumor thing is I think that somebody found him and notified the BBC. At that point, it got leaked. But then the BBC never likes to announce, like they did when they got the Crusade episode a couple of years ago. They never like to announce that they have the episodes until they physically have them.
Well, what was
so
it, if I remember
whoever,
correctly?
Whoever had them probably had to negotiate selling them to the BBC.
Yeah.
And so now the BBC has whatever this amount of missing episodes is, how much of it is actually, they're going to need restoration. So some of this stuff's going to be 6 to 8 months to a year from coming out.
I think longer. Because
this lost episode stuff, if I remember correctly, and I may be wrong about the timeline, you may know more about this than I do, but I seem to recall the first thing I'd read about it was a Bleeding Cool article, like in May.
Yeah,
there was a rumors of this find, and then it all got quieted very quickly.
Yeah,
but I remember the Bleeding Cool article coming out, and then that was the first and last I had heard of it.
Well, Bleeding Cool came out of it, and everyone sort of bitched about it and said it wasn't
going on.
Everybody
bitched and thought that Rich Johnson was making it up. And,
right. Yeah. Yes.
And then there was the weird U-turn with Ian Levine, where first he said, I don't believe it, and then he said, oh, I've spoken to someone, I've seen some things, I believe this is real.
Yeah, and that was the very last thing I'd heard about it.
And then that went away.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's literally like every time this has come up, it's been sort of gone away. And it's probably somebody telling them, you know, we do want to make the 50th birthday special, can you please be quiet? Or it could be one of those things where if you open your mouth, you're going to screw this up and mess it up for everybody. It could be, you know, it could also be like, you know, if they got all these people to shut their mouths about Clara being in the asylum of the Daleks, they probably could get all these people to shut up about the episodes. So, I mean, depending how much they have, at this point, if they have anything under 50, we're just going to be like, oh, okay.
But I mean, okay,
here's the thing. I don't care about the number of episodes they find. I'm more curious in how much of this completes stories that you
already
have.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask is how many or out of the 100 because they're a half hour.
Yeah, how many puzzle pieces have you found and how many of those finish?
And that might be the other thing is they got to piece all that together.
Yeah.
The other tricky thing, though, is that there are, at least with Trouton, for most cases, fewer cases than Hartnell. There are complete Hartnell stories that they don't have anything, like Galaxy 4. They just found one episode. There's nothing from Marco Polo. I mean, so they're Mythmakers, you know.
Well, yeah, but let's be honest, some of those could just stay lost, to be honest. Because some of those weren't very good, but.
Yeah. You know. But if it's true that they've got the film versions, then that'll make it, if these were the ones that were transferred on the film, then that would make them probably, I would think, open for Blu-ray.
Yeah, because they're filmed. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, did they find the one touch we that's in color? Did they find Invasion of the Dinosaurs? You know, I mean, who knows what they have? It's
So when is this announcement going down? Because I've kept hearing that it was supposed to be, you know...
Something was supposed to be announced on Tuesday, which is today. And when we record this. And we got an announcement acknowledging... people have to remember, this all broke on Sunday, so everyone was probably, like, freaking out over dinner. So they probably made the announcement today saying, okay, yes, we have them. Now they are forced with announcing that they have them probably before they were ready to announce that they have them. So now they're probably like, well, we got to announce this by the end of the week or this is going to get out of control.
Well, I imagine if there's a long timeline about this, I'm guessing it was supposed to be announced at their big con they're having. The Doctor Who celebration thingy.
Yeah, there was supposed to be something there. They were going to have an announcement there or some sort of an event there. And then there's also a big chunk of the programming on the BBC network that they said was reserved for quote unquote classic Doctor Who, but they didn't specify the programming.
Oh, so they were going to premiere these on television first,
it could be that, but it could also be that they're going to show, you know, the greatest hits of each Doctor. I mean, I think they're trying to figure out what they're. There's so many people probably with so many ideas on what to do with it that I can understand why they're waiting, you know. The whole backstory to this is almost more interesting than the episode Discovery. It's just like, the people that found it are basically this group of people that do nothing but scan the world looking for missing Doctor Who episodes. And apparently they're so extreme that they will like go through the BBC shipping laws. It's like, okay, this was sent to this studio in Kenya in 1968, but there should be a paperwork going from Kenya sending it back to the BBC. Okay, it was then trashed. So if they find something that wasn't shipped back, then they know that it possibly could be in that place. So that's, I think, how they stumbled across going to Ethiopia to find these. Which is interesting. And I don't, this Fox will know more about this, but if it's filmed in canisters and it's in a studio, albeit in Ethiopia, there still should be some decent level of preservation, right?
There should be, because it depends on the nitrate. It depends on the environment. If it's dry, then I think the deterioration should be less. You know, the film is just as bad as paper. Paper is very self-destructive, and apparently so is film. You know, because it'll, you know, burn itself out, or it does something like that. But I'm guessing if Ethiopia is a relatively dry area, hopefully, you know, there shouldn't have been, you know, so much of a deterioration in the film.
Yeah.
Which would be good. I mean, here's the thing. Even back then, you know, has anyone ever found, like, crisp film from that time that, you know, you didn't really need to clean it up? I mean, there's always,
apparently,
you know.
Two of the Cybermen was in pretty good shape.
Oh.
When they found that.
Right.
It was in Hong Kong. So
it was part of a syndication package, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was in pretty good shape. But they've got the audio, so that's even better.
Well, that is good.
No matter what, because they've got audio for all the episodes. They just don't have the pictures. So even if they got a copy where the audio is shit, they can fix it, you know? Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, it's kind of weird because it's one of those things I thought, you know, pretty much after the last batch, I'm like, they're not going to find much else. Time's running out on this. You know, so it's kind of like for people that have liked Doctor Who for like over 20 years, you're just kind of going, wait a minute, is this really happening?
Yeah, but when you consider syndication, I mean, WOR television must have, you know, I wonder in how many places from the U.S. During even the Tom Baker years that somebody still has found, you know.
Well, they have to send, the thing is, after those, like in the U.S., after they got shown on a PBS station, the copies of them would have to get sent back to Lionheart.
Really?
And then,
because
and
like,
then when you repurchase the package, they send them back out to you.
Really? Oh, okay. Because like Gainesville down in Florida, they kept showing. I mean, it for years it never went off, and they would just they would cycle right back to from the beginning.
And then that just depends on the package they bought too. But like, St. Louis was one of the first markets to get McCoy. And to buy the McCoy, you had to buy the Hartnell Troutman package. So they started from the beginning with Hartnell all the way through to the end of McCoy. And then when they cycled through again, they said, okay, not everyone wants to see all of these first and second doctor ones. We're going to do two stories from each one. And that was another package. But then when they finished their run, they sent that back and got something else. So it's kind of a weird system of how they've handled those in the past.
Okay.
And it'll be interesting to sort of see what they do. But, I mean, most of it I think is still, you know, a lot of that stuff I think is still locked away and on big discs somewhere.
You know, the other thing that I would like them to do is I know they just put a lot of BBC stuff on Hulu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I noticed that the package of, at least for Classic Who, is the same package that's on Prime, is the same package that's on Netflix. And it occurs to me that nobody either that's the selection they're offering, period. Everybody. Or they're holding back material for like, oh, we're not going to give you all of them unless you pay for it, you know? But I would like somebody to cough up enough money to get like more of the classic show on a service.
I'm wondering if it's an equity thing.
It could be. It could very well be. But I would like there to be more of than what's there, because I don't think what's there is
great.
Well, I wouldn't say I don't think it's great. I just don't think it's a good sampling of the show. And
yeah,
that's
I don't
sort
think
of
Carnival of Monsters really needs to be seen anymore.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
You know, I mean, I think that's in it, and I think they show like Carnival of Monsters, and then they've got I mean, they don't want to take any risks and do like Towers of Wing Chiang, you know? So it's kind of sad. Yeah, but I think they have like a selection of what, 10 to 12 that they recycle through?
I think it's, well, they have something from, they have none of Colin Baker's stories up. They have no Colin Baker episodes on any service.
Wow.
And so, but they have a representation, at least a complete story from each doctor except for Colin Baker.
Wow, why is that?
Don't know. Huh. But there should be more of a selection. That's just me. But
I mean,
his stuff is always more, I mean, it's.
I think it's the derisive ones, but hey.
Yeah. But I always like that one where he's on that dead planet, you know, the mortuary planet.
The Dalek one, yeah.
Yeah.
The one with Alexi Sale.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one.
But we'll have
to see. this whole thing could get interesting, and it's going to be fun.
But again, it's going to take a while for us to, so why get really excited, because it's going to take some
time.
Like I was saying, I read something in May, and that was when Rich Johnson leaked it. So it could be very possible they have been sitting on this for a while. It was just when people started digging at it and kept digging at it is when they finally went, okay, now we're going to have to say something. So it's very possible that they've had that for months, and they've been sitting on them. Also, that kind of goes to why offer them digitally. Maybe they're trying to gauge interest to see if they want to press DVDs of this. Maybe they don't have any special features put together for any of this stuff like you would want on a DVD, which if all they've got is the episodes, well, that's why you'd offer it digitally. So,
Well, it also could be, too, that it's the 50th anniversary, and if you're going to make any money, make it now.
Yeah.
And get people ready for the 50th.
It well, I kind of thought too, that was what the regeneration box was for.
Yeah, I think they, I think, too, that there's some sort of a deal they had to redo after the last batch of these they found.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, if they got screened, they had to pay. But if they're shown digitally, then that's sort of a way around that. That part of the
okay
of the deal. I mean, there's lots of different things it could be, but I tend to think it is probably a money thing. It also could be the cat's out of the bag. I mean, unless they want to get it out before he gets bootlegged, you know. I mean, that might be part of it too.
Or YouTube.
Yeah. But I mean, people are freaking out. It's really hilarious and funny how much they're all freaking out about it.
We've been here for 5 hours. You want to do introductions now?
No.
No.
Well, that's 2 votes against.
What the fuck are you talking about?
If you've listened this far, don't you know who we are? Don't you? Don't you?
I don't know who I am.
Oh, well, then you might as well do introductions then.
Okay, fine. All right. So we'll do introductions, and we'll do them starting now.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week, but now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Of Weekend Justice. It's a Weekend Justice podcast here on needcoffee.com, the number one audio internet train wreck. We're here in the hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, and I will endeavor to introduce them going from my right to your left. We have Scott C is with us. Hello, Scott.
Hi.
Hi. We also have Tuffley is here. Hello, Tuffley.
I believe they found 37 episodes of Weekend Justice that were missing. They found those in Cambodia.
Oh, yes.
You should be worried.
Yes. Well, We wiped those for a reason.
I don't think the Daleks were in any of those, actually.
No, they weren't. The Daleks episodes of Weekend Justice survive.
Yeah, the other episodes are in the same landfill.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
See?
The other episodes are in that landfill with E.T. the Extraterrestrial video games.
So we were crushed then.
Yes.
I know I was crushed, and I own the E.T. video game. We also have Rox of Spaz House. Hello, Rox.
I can help your son get a date.
Well.
For a nominal fee. For a nominal fee. I'll dispense with my.
Are you trying to seduce me, Mrs. Spaz House?
I was setting you up for the Help Me Rox number.
Oh. If you need help, you can always call 404-382-0769. One day, we might have a show.
One day, we might do that again.
It's rapidly turning into
a cross between... Dear Congress, if you want me to help you with this stalemate, please call Help Me Rox at 404-382-0769. We can
help. Help Me Rox is sort of like a cross between, Hello Dolly and the organization Spectre.
God, yeah. Yes. Fancy hats and evilness, yes.
We also have Rob with us. Hello, Rob.
Winch, do you know what today is?
What's today, Rob?
Hump Day! It's Hump Day!
What?
No, we have another hour.
It's Hump Day. Never mind.
What?
Yeah, we know the joke, but it's not Wednesday.
I know, but that's okay. It's still funny. I'm sorry.
It isn't funny.
Is fucking hilarious. No, it isn't.
It is not! I hate that commercial!
What?
So
that's stupid. It's funny.
I'm so confused. What commercial?
He doesn't watch television.
Stop it, John.
You know he doesn't watch television. He only watches NPR.
Yes, and by that, I mean I turn on the radio and get
stares at the listener.
Yeah, I get stoned and watch the radio. There you go. We also have,
well, you know they don't show tits on the radio, Wedge.
They don't show tits on the radio?
No.
I have an enhanced radio there.
Thank you, Rob.
I thought I heard boob. I did hear boob. That's John Fidaniki. Hi, John.
Just can't please some people.
It's so true. What is that? The bells are ringing. Oh, the ringing titillations of the bells.
Someone's just trying to get some angels some more wings.
Oh.
By the way, I realized I was on mute for like the last 45 minutes.
Oh, that's fine.
It's a wonderful podcast.
Yes. It's fine. It's okay.
See, John, you did have a wonderful life being muted.
Yeah, he had a wonderful life. You get to walk away.
Well, I've been watching the Rays game, too, at the same time, so.
Oh,
yes, because you still have a dog in that.
Rob boxes. Still does.
Uh-huh.
I didn't think they allowed dogs to play.
I'm just saying, Los Angeles, we've given this gift of choking to St. Louis. Now we may have given it to you.
I'm
good luck with that.
Toughly, are you advocating autoerotic asphyxiation?
Wow.
Why wouldn't you? I mean,
well,
no.
Well, as a baseball city, we have done that before to other cities.
Why is it always cock with you?
Just ask Rob. He's not denying it.
Well, I've got extra tickets to the Winnipeg game if you can get up here this month.
I know, yeah. And they're like, right now, I looked at the standings, they're still like third in the division. They're above Chicago. That'll last for like five more minutes. And I'm like, I'll take that. I'll take a screenshot of that. Thank you.
Hey, Rox, I think we found the secret, though. The way to get a Best Supporting Actor Emmy is autoerotic asphyxiation.
It never worked for John Carradine.
Nope.
David.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
It didn't work for John either. Where do you think he got the idea?
You know who else it didn't? You know, which it also didn't work for Michael Hudson very well either.
Oh! That joke was very in excess.
He kept hanging around waiting for his Grammy.
Oh, shit! Wow. That hurts.
Sorry.
That touched me in the bad place. Oh, God.
But it didn't squeeze you.
No. It was just more of a friendly embrace.
Yeah.
So if we actually...
Have we introduced everybody?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm Jack Parr. Have we basically talked about everything? I'm amazed at how much television I've actually watched. I'm watching a lot of television right now. I wonder what's wrong with me.
Okay, well, so in a non-squee report, I do actually think the episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. that just aired was a lot better than episode 2.
That's good because
it doesn't take much.
Well, no, it's true. I thought incrementally episode 2 was better than the pilot.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
I thought episode 2 was a bit of a letdown from the pilot.
Well, here's why I say that is because the opening, again, like I said, the whole the whole, oh, we're all getting along moment after they shot the guy in the head was just way too much. I mean, there was far too much setup in the first episode, but that's what first episodes are for. What I did like about the second episode is they at least played around with the structure of the episode. So you started towards the end and then backed up to show what happened. So, I mean, that's at least something that is different. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was just, I kind of felt like the second episode rammed down the scale a lot from the first episode in terms of scale, in terms of the size of it.
Well, as Scott pointed out, the 084, when you go from Thor's hammer to a German death ray that just happens to be, that was a thing.
Yeah.
So here, rocks. See if
you, so you is got, that a shot at BMW?
No. Rocks, you've seen the second episode, right?
Yes.
Okay. Is it just me? Okay, is there anyone on this podcast? I know Rox's answer, but is there anyone on this podcast who actually believes they shot the death ray into space?
No.
Yeah.
I do.
Really?
Well, you know, the one question I have,
they shot it into space after, like, sorry.
No, they're bribing the Kree.
The question I have.
No, I think after they took, like, many, many pictures and many, many scans of it so they can recreate it.
But they took selfies with it?
Yes.
Talking about photobombing.
No, the key word here is gamma radiation. It's put away somewhere.
Oh, my God. That's where you get Nick Fury photobombing in between. Hey.
I'm here to recruit you.
Oh, my God. Put it on the cool bar. Hey.
Well, speaking of cameos,
I think they have
question. I have is, how the hell did the thing get in the wall?
I know.
But didn't it
likes to attach itself to walls. I think that's its thing, its kink.
Didn't they have a line in there?
Likes to attach itself to walls.
I think they had a line in there about the fact that it, in essence, buried itself because of the energy just ate through the ground until it stopped there.
Right, but then you would see stuff around it as broken up, but it was just in the wall. And by the way, it wasn't wedged in the wall because the guy just pulled it right out.
Well, it's your whole... It's your Excalibur metaphor, to be honest. You know, he pulls that out of the...
He was worthy to
pull it out of the side of the airplane. Yeah, yeah, okay. That's how much they want you to like this team.
They are that good.
So here's a question. Has there ever been a cameo with the band Cameo?
Word.
No.
Up.
I believe there was an American Bandstand episode once, but that may have gotten cut when they cropped the credits.
The only time I could see it happening is if maybe Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Or a very special episode of Blossom.
Very special.
Oh, the Waltons.
As in, it got wiped by the BBC.
It was a very special episode of Top of the Pops.
I just listened to it. Said the Waltons. I just listened to it. I'm sorry, I haven't a clue. And I really appreciated this, where they do the last lines, where they basically say, end a TV series, or end a series in as few lines as possible. And they gave Barry Cryer the Waltons. And he was like, yeah, good night, John Boy. Oh, good night, so and so. Good night, Uncle So and so. Yeah, good night, Steve. Good night, whatever. Good night, stranger with a hatchet outside the barn.
I like that.
Yeah, I thought you might. So, shall we mosey into the cul-de-sac known as recommendations?
Is Donna Mills going to move in as one of the neighbors later?
No, but the Dark Satanic Mills are going to.
Oh, okay. Well, yep. That's fine.
Yep. So, along those lines, as the Dark Satanic Mills spew the ash of many an E.T. extraterrestrial video game into the atmosphere, which is why we have global warming, who wants to go first?
I'll go.
Go, Tupley!
We will start with, I believe, the Pixies actually have new music out, so they can stop answering that damn question. It's called EP1, and it's quite tasty, I thought. So go get that. I was also going to recommend the new single from the Wombats. It's called Your Body as a Weapon.
Yes.
It's very, very fun.
Oh, yes. That's good shit.
Yeah. And,
I think we just discovered cocaine.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Is that or Kool-Aid?
Oh, yeah.
and also,
Sorry, yes, go ahead, please.
Please, John, tell me you got that. That's just...
I've already written it down.
Okay. and I was also going to recommend Endless Wartime, the Avengers graphic novel that Warren Ellis recently came out.
With. Oh, that's out. Okay.
That's out. And for those of you who enjoy The Shield, Clark Gregg has the foreword to it as well. So that's fun.
Nice.
And it's a damn nice Avengers story, too, written by Warren Ellis, who doesn't get to properly write them very much. So
Toughly, will I enjoy this as opposed to, say, Infinity, which I've read a few issues of, and I have no idea what the fuck is happening?
You don't have to have any idea what the fuck is going on.
Beautiful. I'm on it.
It's basically the setup is it's the movie Avengers plus Wolverine and Captain Marvel.
Oh, okay.
As characters in the book, and the threat is both mystical and technologically created, so it's like right up Warren's alley. So,
yep,
it's a very nice straight ahead Avengers plot. And again, Warren doesn't get to write these characters a lot, so it's nice to watch him go with it. And that is it.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what the man who brought you the authority does with the Avengers. I miss the authority. All right, who's next?
Says the authority.
I know. Jesus Christ. Boy, do they ever. Who's next? Thank you, Toughly. Go Rocks!
Oh, okay. The only thing I got is I'm 40 pages away from finishing Doctor Sleep by Stephen King.
Oh, and?
It is good. It is really, I really enjoy I have been spending a lot of time really reading this one. I finished doing a reread. You don't have to, but it for Stephen King fans, I think rereading or reading The Shining and then reading this one, it's nice. It doesn't seem like he really changed his prose. You know, from one book to the other, you know, right. Where you'd think time passing and stuff would be a hindrance. This is, it's interesting. It's as fresh as, you know, The Shining was. Interesting thing is it's got, you know, Danny grows up and he's an alcoholic, just like his dad. Halloran, plays a vital part in, you know, in his life, and he meets up with this young girl who has the Shining as well, except hers is much more powerful. And of course, there's a roving band of psychic vampires, of which
not again.
Yeah, I know. But
we just sprayed for those.
I know, but here they're driving around in RVs, and they have now. It's sort of funny in the book. They're like the girls, like they have like. Pirate names. No. They're like hobo names. Like there's Rose the Hat and Crow Daddy and like Long Paul and just all sorts of weird ass hobo names. You know, because what they do is they siphon off psychic ability when they kill a child with, you know, the Shining. And so they go after this one girl, in the book. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
What I would love is if they actually killed people with literally a copy of The Shining.
Yes. They cut them with a million paper cuts.
Actually, they would need to do that with the Unabridged Stand. I think that has been used as a weapon that kills.
The funny thing is, Widge, you're not too far from how they kill these children. Spoiler, you know, that they pretty much torture a child before, you know, they kill them so that they can get the essence.
So what they call eyes wide shut, that would be a King callback, right?
Yeah, that would be. I'm enjoying the hell out of it. It's really good. So that's all I have. It's all I've been reading.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Rox.
Uh-huh.
Who's next?
I'll go.
Go, Scott.
Just finished a book called Patriotic Treason, John Brown and the Soul of America. It's deals with John Brown, the guy who led the raid on Harper's Ferry, who many historians say that was like the... Am I echoing?
Not anymore.
Okay, good. Okay. Who led the raid on Harper's Ferry, which a lot of people say started the American Civil War, and really casts him, shows him as a very pious man who really believed that slavery was an evil that needed to be stamped out. But a lot of like people have portrayed him as like crazy and nuts, and he wasn't that. He just had this very sincere conviction that slavery was just wrong and needed to be fought. And he also he didn't truck with people who thought that, you know, people needed to be, to try to find nonviolent solutions. He said, you know, they're not using nonviolent solutions. They're not being nonviolent. Why should we? So that's what led to, his actions in Bloody Kansas and also the raid on Harper's Ferry. It really does give a much more nuanced, portrayal of John Brown and the times he lived in, because slavery, you know, people had a lot of problems with it. And, you know, but people didn't, it was interesting. Most people who didn't like slavery didn't really want it abolished per se. They just wanted to get all the blacks out of here because they were worried about, you know, the effects it would have on like the labor market and stuff like that. So it really gives a very good example of like just before everything went to hell. So during the Civil War. So it was a very interesting book. So I would recommend that. And that's it for me. Done. Dong.
There you have it.
Very good. Right. Nice timing there, John.
Thanks, Scott. All right. Rob, what have you got?
First, I've got In Rolling Waves, the new album from Naked and Famous.
Oh, yes.
It's on a big major label now, and it's getting a pretty big push. And it's quite good. And then a book called, it's coming out, it's about a month or so, but it's called The Race Underground, Boston, New York, and the Incredible Rivalry That Built America's First Subway.
Woo!
So, yeah, I know. Wonder where this copy's going when I'm done. But basically, it's all about how New York started making a subway, Boston started making a subway, and it got really heated and really nasty in terms of like who was going to finish their subway first. And there's a lot of scheming and back dealing and just chicanery and hobos. You know, at one point they would take all the homeless in one city and drive them to Boston and let them out or vice versa and, get them to sabotage the efforts to build the other railway before the other city. So it's really a fascinating sort of book. It's like Doug Most. And if you're a fan of sort of underground trains or sort of that era of history, it is quite good. So that's all I got.
Cool. Thank you, Rob. All right, John, what have you got?
Well, lately I've been on a Batman kick. So I've been reading, rereading The Long Halloween, the 13... I guess, I don't even know what you call them, the limited series, I guess.
Oh, that was so good.
Yes.
The Tim Sale one? Yeah.
With, Jeff Loeb and Jeff? It's Jeff, right? It's Jeff.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's right. It's just spelled weird. The artwork by Tim Sale.
That's beautiful stuff.
Yeah, it's a really good read. It's not terribly expensive on that Amazon thing. The direct URL to Amazon, I believe, is needcoffee.com/Amazon is the direct and the only URL you need to get to Amazon.
That's the only one you need. Yes.
Yes.
Any others would be superfluous.
They actually won't work, so don't even bother trying them.
Yes, you need it. You need it bad.
We've gotten in touch with Reddington, and we've had them all blocked.
But by the way, that story along with Year One, and I think one other book, one other series, is what influenced Batman Begins and the rest of the trilogy for
Nolan.
Nolan, thank you. I'm also trying to watch a baseball game as I do this, so it's really 1-0, by the way. Tampa Bay's up. And if Tampa Bay needs to buy some more pitchers, because it looks like they do, they can get those at needcoffee.com/Amazon as well.
That is true. Well, I mean, I assume so. Probably from a third party, but we still get credit.
Japan.
Well, yeah, because, you know.
Baseball joke.
So do they need pitchers or catchers? Because Cuba, I can do both.
Cuba had, oh.
Dear
wow.
God.
Wow. Okay.
Cuba had a Amazon store, but they got shut down by some, you know, governmental politics thing.
But I understand you still can go to Cuba / Amazon and buy missiles.
Wow.
They're crisis missiles, but on Infinite Earths.
They only kill Supergirl?
No, they make the skies red. And then you have to buy all the comic books.
They only punch walls. All right.
Wrong crisis.
I know.
They're all wrong.
It could have been worse. It could have been a donkey punch.
Wow.
No, that's Infinity.
That is the worst Shrek joke ever, Scott.
I just have to know, how good do you swing your bat, Scott?
It depends on the guy. I'm versatile.
Can you take
how much fastballs or curveballs?
Oh my god!
What?
All I know is that the ASPCA is probably going to be on you about swinging bats around.
Is this like a Kansas City Royals investigation sort of thing, or
what? I'm confused.
The baseball fan got it. It's fine, Scott.
I don't even know.
So anyway.
No, Crisis on Infinite Earths was really good. It's just the rest of them were shit.
Batman the Long Halloween was really good too, so. Enjoy that.
Yes, good Batman stories that aren't in the movie.
And speaking of Halloween, Widge, what are we doing on the site?
32 days of Halloween.
Woo!
That is a long Halloween.
Year 7.
Yay!
Fuck.
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with me?
You can play all 7 now.
Just kidding. I'm so lost. 32
days.
Yes, 32 days of Halloween. Starts September 30th because Halloween kicks every other holiday in the face. And so it needs an extra day with which to stretch out and exert its dominance over the rest of the year. So,
yeah.
Hell yeah. So we're doing a post today with a short subject, usually some audio and a feature film. This evening, Rox, we featured her sending over The Evil Mind.
Yeah.
And
is that the Rox's Bass House story?
No, that's called The Blacklist. one of my favorite things is I just posted also today. Boris Karloff on the Philco Radio Hour where he sang with Bing Crosby. That was great.
Yeah.
And, also the, Arsenic and Old Lace audio, which I did not know existed, Rox. How did I not know that existed?
The thing is stuff keeps popping up. I mean, every year, you know me, I try to help out and I cull through YouTube and stuff and new stuff pops up because the Evil Mind is like almost like a lost kind of film.
Yeah.
Well, you know, things keep popping up. We got Doctor Who episodes. We got this.
Oh my God. I found this really cool. We could call it Boardwalk Empire Night. That one film, The Degenerates. Oh my God. It's almost like Freaks.
That's my autobiography.
Yeah.
True.
Degenerate.
But yeah. So oh shit. What was I saying? I lost my train of thought.
32 days.
Yes. No, the arsenic and old lace. Boris Karloff in the role of Jonathan Brewster. So you finally get to hear him say the line that was basically written for him. He gets pissed off because he looks like Boris Karloff. It's fantastic. And that is a great play and movie that somebody needs to remake with Jeremy Irons in the role before he gets too old. Toughly, your Halloween episode of Randomizer is up. How do people find that? Or should they just, well, they should follow everyone on Twitter anyway, but how do they find that?
So if you're on Spotify, you can search for me. I very creatively called myself Jam Toughly on Spotify. So you can do a search for me, look for all the randomizers, and you'll look for the Halloween one because it's the only one there. It should be near the top of the list, though. I did put it at the top of the list.
Ask for it by name.
Ask for it by name.
Yes.
Although, follow me on Twitter and Facebook, and I will post the link again around the time this is up. So I'll do that.
Indeed. So yes, you can go to neatcoffee.com/Amazon for all of your Amazon Halloween or non-Halloween or whatever purchases, and they are your friends. Now, my picks. It's a little weird for me to say this, but basically everything I'm recommending is coming out next week during our off week. So, you'll have to just,
they're all off weeks, which
I know. It's very true. But I never thought I would say this. I would like to recommend the upcoming album from Gary Numan, called Splinter Songs from a Broken Mind. It is really good.
See, I was surprised you were going there, but yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I was just like, I was asking Rob, I said, when he sounds like a more refined version of Vast. And then Rob was amazed that I referenced Vast. So, but yeah, it's actually really good. Apparently the single is the opening track, Here in the Dark. And if you can find that, listen to it because it's really pretty badass. So I'm very happy with that. Also coming out next week, I think it's the first time on Blu-ray, the original and the only Haunting, aka The Haunting of Hill House, which is excellent. Mm-hmm. And the remake is shite. So you should definitely, watch that. Rent it, if not own it, because it's really excellent and it's perfect for this time of year. And of course, next week is Pacific Rim in all of its various and sundry flavors. And all I can tell you is,
you better buy the hell out of that.
You better buy the living shit out of that, because if you don't, I never get my Robotech movie, and fuck you, okay? So
it was funny, they released a bit of the gag reel out
on Scott.
The YouTubes.
Yeah.
But what was interesting is everybody fucked up except Idris Elba.
Of course.
I know, but it was just funny because it's like, no, he didn't fuck. I think they were too afraid. If he even did fuck up, they're not gonna put that out there because
it was only the fourth movie.
He will end you.
Well, yeah, no, that was my favorite bit of. I saw an interview with him. There's the bit where, what's his face, grabs him and turns him around, and he says he does the one, never touch me again. Said yeah, they had some throwaway. Like I said, they said, oh, just come up with some throwaway line on that, and that's why he repeated it. 1, never touch me again. 2, never touch me again. Oh, Idris Elba, you're such a fucking badass. It's ridiculous.
And that's going to be that's going to be a slow jam somewhere. Somebody's going to remix that.
He can do it himself. He's a DJ.
1, don't touch me again. 2, don't touch me again.
He's a DJ. He could do it himself.
He can do that.
I know.
When he goes clubbing.
Driss, there you go. I want that as a B-side single. Go. Hell, release it on SoundCloud for free. Who cares? Go. Anyway. So those are my recommendations. Stuff is coming out next week, so you can go ahead and stick it in your shopping cart and be ready for it. Especially, I'm totally fucking serious. You've got to buy Pacific Rim. This is a gateway geek movie where if it makes money, more geek movies will be made. If it doesn't make money, then we've made Sky Captain 2, and I will cry.
Yeah.
So, yes. So.
Speaking of things that would be nice if they came back. I've mentioned Kenneth Hite before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He brought out a couple books years and years and years ago about his suppressed transmission com that he used to do for Steve Jackson. And they put out two books, and they never brought out any others. And a lot of his suppressed transmission columns are pretty much lost because Steve Jackson put them down. So if you go out to Steve Jackson Games and buy them, it might encourage them to make more. And they're very interesting. They're all about like weird shit, you know, conspiracy, magic, and all sorts of weird shit. So if you go to stevejacksongames.com and go to their store and buy them, you know, they are very entertaining and they may make more. I want more of those.
They are really good.
Oh, Scott, I found my copy. Since you had one, I'm like, I know I had that. So when I found my copies in my library, my home
there you
library.
Go.
Yeah, I own one.
Cool.
Yeah, he's relating high weirdness mostly to role-playing games, but beyond that, it's just interesting. But it's interesting regardless. I mean, that's the sort of angle. But it's even if you're not a gamer, it's still fucking pretty badass.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But one of the things also, he's doing a podcast with another game designer, Robin D. Laws. And it's Ken and Robin talk about stuff.
Oh.
You know, interesting title. And they talk about gaming and stuff. And they also have like, you know, they always have, he also talks about, you know, they have something called the Consulting Occultists where they talk about people in the occult world, and they have where Time Incorporated wants Ken in his time machine to change or fix something in history. So it also relates to gaming, but it's entertaining enough where it doesn't really matter if you're not into gaming.
What I'd like is a podcast where it's Ken and what's face talk about the stuff, and it's all about the Garrett Morris film from the 80s and nothing else. They never talk about anything else.
Oh, Widge.
Widge, did you ever get into Night Vale?
I have them downloaded. I have not listened to them yet.
Okay.
Jackson
Public actually showed up in one of the recent ones.
As himself?
I don't know. I think it was a character voice.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
Oh, Night Vale. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That is good. Welcome to Night Vale.
I actually watched when they did it live, and it was very interesting because they had James Urbaniak as an intern.
Yeah.
Poor intern.
The interns don't last long on that show, do they? No. Except for Dana.
Yeah, she's a special case, and she's somewhere.
Nice.
So who are you going to vote for, Tuffley?
Who am I voting for what?
Well, for mayor.
Oh,
Are you going for the five-headed dragon or the woman with no face who lives in your house?
Oh, please tell me you're being literal.
Yes.
Awesome.
Well, I like dragons.
Wait, is it Tiamat? Is it Tiamat from the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon?
No. That would be great. That would be great.
Although, awesome. Considering the shadiness of the guy, it may be one of his aliases. I'm just saying. They haven't confirmed, but it may be.
I mean, if it were really Tiamat, you could, you know, run with the ad, you know, keeps Venger away. But, you know... Whatever.
Good Lord. Wow.
Did anyone catch Treehouse of Horrors?
The opening bit. I didn't see it. Why is it so early?
I don't know. It used to be at like weeks after Halloween,
yeah.
Didn't it?
Well, yeah.
I'm guessing they're counting on the fact that they're gonna get preempted by football, so they thought they'd go ahead and preempt the preemption.
Oh, okay. I think that's why I didn't see it, because it's like, why is it now?
Well,
they're either gonna get preempted by football, or do they have the World Series this year?
Yeah, they do.
Okay, well, that means they won't have it until December.
Yeah.
Well, that opening was genius.
Yes.
Well, the third of the three stories was their retelling of Freaks, which was really really well done, actually. But
oh
now
my!
I'm gonna have to see that.
Wow, that's odd.
So they actually do the what is it? The little song.
One of us.
How did I know?
We accept you.
Rox is gonna know that.
Are you kidding? Rox wrote it. Now that we've sung it, we owe her royalties. It's like happy birthday. Yeah. I know. So, we lost Robin there somewhere.
Hi, Rob.
So, I think we've reached the end.
We've told you what to buy, so buy it.
Well, that too. I think we've reached the end of another episode of Weekend Justice, and I think just like every episode, we take a moment to look back over the cratered, pockmarked alien surface of the last close to 3 hours. And as we stand in awe of what we've done with ourselves and our lives, I think we should just look at ourselves and say, Jabberjaw.
Jabberjaw!
Jabberjaw.
That was frightening.
That's why I did.
He talked like that. He talked like Curly, right?
No, I was talking about Rox, actually. Scott, you always frighten me.
Yay.
If he's frightened, it's just kind of like head and shoulders. If it's tingling, you can tell it's working. That sort of thing.
So if Scott's tingling?
If Scott's tingling, be very afraid.
If Scott's tingling, Ooh. He needs to take more antibiotics.
Hey!
What? Oh, sorry.
And stay away from the shark tank.
Keep it clean, Scott. Keep it clean.
I always do, goddamn.
No, he means the shark tank.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, no, I've actually trained
Well, you know, because there is no shutdown, no one's inspecting you right now, Scott, so.
I don't mind being inspected.
You should be careful and clean.
Wait, did Scott get inspected by the USDA?
I believe so. I thought that was...
Holy shutdown.
Wasn't that what the prodding was about, Scott?
Is that the party that we wanted to get started?
It was party the first part.
Oh. But it wasn't house party. No. Okay, good.
But it did set the roof on fire.
Oh.
Just let the motherfucker burn.
Thank you.
Ooh, and that's the code.
Thank you.
Yeah,
we can now go.
Rox with no context whatsoever. Just John saying that. Yes.
Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Hi there. Many of you know me as the half-assed engineer John on Need Coffee's Weekend Justice podcast. But what most of you don't know is that before I was internationally known by tens of people, I was a patient at the Sleep Deprivation Institute, known as NeedCoffee.com. NeedCoffee.com has provided me and many of you with hundreds of hours of therapy through engaging rants, dreamcasts, reviews, contests, news of the offbeat and cool, and of course, more information about caffeine than was really necessary. Why, without Need Coffee, I might have actually seen Starship Troopers 4 bugging out. Thank you, Need Coffee, for saving me from that fate. Now, all this goodness does come at a cost, so the fine folks at Need Coffee are asking for your help. Please head over to needcoffee.com/memberships to learn what you can do to keep this invaluable resource alive. Your contribution not only will allow for more great content and more chances to win free shit, but it might just save a kitten. So as you sit there, listening to this podcast, this free podcast, sipping on your $8 Café de Frou-Frou, think about what you could have done with that money instead. Sure, you could have donated to some worthy cause, or you could keep Need Coffee and kittens alive. Your choice. Visit needcoffee.com/memberships for more details. Oh, crap. Did I record that?
And here's Dakota.
Just let the motherfucker burn.